Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With the built-in HD camera and microphone, you can monitor your front door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like being home even when you're not. Right now, get $10 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. And by LegalZoom, if you're looking to incorporate, form an LLC, get a trademark, and more, LegalZoom can help you get started the right way. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code AAA in the referral box at checkout for your special discount. And by Harry's, for guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code AAA when you check out. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 232, recorded Tuesday, September 20th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
You missed that one, Brian. Look of disapproval.
That was totally on purpose. It was the buildup.
Well, okay.
Sorry, Florence.
So Flo, Brian may not feel this way. I'm just assuming, but everyone and their dog feels this way. You are an awesome addition to the show.
I think Brian is like when you have you have one child and you have a second child and the oldest child is just like, I don't like the new baby, right? You know, whatever. I think Brian's got a little bit of jealousy for
you
Flo.
Know, it's even worse than that. It's just that you get into a routine.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And you, I'm basically just a computer, and I totally run on instinct now. I'm sorry, Flo.
All right.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
It's okay, computer.
File not found.
Flo, I will tell you, we got a ton of email, a bunch of, just comments everywhere. Twitter, Google+, everywhere. Everybody loves you. Everybody's so happy to have you on the show. We are too.
Let's not inflate our ego too much here.
With love right now. I wish I was there in person so we could just hug.
Flo is great. We're
well, it's
to have
true.
You.
All know, right.
Everybody loves her.
Jeez. Okay then.
Second show is okay.
Yes, we've decided to keep you, Flo. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Hold on, we still had to film the second show.
All right, we'll see how this goes. We'll see how this goes, and we'll make a judgment later. welcoming back to the show, Aaron Kasson, the president of IDEA. So do you say IDEA or IDEAA?
I say IDEA.
Okay. Right. I mean, it makes sense.
Do you hang on that last day? Do you IDEA?
It depends on how many drinks I've had.
And who you're talking to. Founder, creator of Big Android Barbecue, which has, Big Android Barbecue coming up pretty soon, right? Yeah. Next month?
Yeah, October 22nd and 23rd in Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas. It's going to be fun.
I really need to go.
I would like to go, too.
I invite you every year. Every
I know.
Year you've been invited.
I know, and I really need to make it happen. I'm going to talk to Leo. I'm going to see.
You don't like fun.
It does sound like fun.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I like fun.
I like fun, too, and I like barbecue more than fun.
Well,
we have both.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Big Android Barbecue. And you like Android, so it's kind of like the best of
all
worlds.
Yeah, it's a great...
All wrapped up.
Not a lot of Android, just barbecuing.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell Leo that there's not a lot of Android.
Oh, I mean, copious amounts of Android.
Okay, excellent. All right, this is good.
Let's focus on the Android. Focus on why we're here.
And then once we get there, we can realize how much of a focus barbecue actually is. We've got a lot to talk about this week. Actually, this is a pretty big news week. We'll be discussing Google's official event announcement, the Moto X Pure, and some impressions that we have here. The Huawei Watch, I have it, and I can give you a little short review. It's awesome.
I'm building up for the hilarity that will come with the wonderful Huawei watch.
Is it the watch?
The watch? Or is it the Huawei
watch? I know. Huawei watch.
You can't.
It's a watch, maybe.
It's impossible to
the wonderful Huawei watch.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll happen. Amazon's new Fire tablet lineup, Apple's grand Play Store entrance, and a whole lot more. See? Lots of stuff. Yeah. It all starts with the news.
Hopefully you didn't fill up on barbecue, because we're about to fill you up with Android news.
Really,
that was a good one. Good job, Brian.
Really good.
Thanks, it was contextually relevant and clever. Mm-hmm.
Yep, we'll keep you till next week.
So I am officially on new phone watch.
Oh, okay. Because it's Nexus season?
Well, no, after the past, almost 2 years now, my beloved Nexus 5 has just fallen a little short, and I really like the Moto, the new Motorola phones, and mm-hmm. the Nexbit's got my eye. But I've been waiting to see what Google's going to roll out, as the fall announcements come. We're kind of coming to the end of the announcement cycle, and everyone's been on bated breath for Google to announce when they're going to be announcing their phones.
Make an announcement about their announcement.
Yeah, yes. Well, like they say in the arcade, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
The invitations went out. Google announced its event for Tuesday, September 29th at 9 a.m., saying, join us for some tasty new treats and much more.
Some more.
Get it? Because it's marshmallow.
Yeah, I remember it. They got that from us when they watched us make s'mores on the episode. That's totally what they were talking about.
I think they did, yeah.
You guys invented s'mores.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We may not have invented s'mores, but we invented Kit Kat s'mores.
We did.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Still, it was damn delicious.
But not as good as Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, those are really good, too. Yeah. Those are really good. I agree.
Well, so... as with any of these announcements or these big events that are coming up, we get the announcement and then we get a parade of leaks and a parade of speculation. Yeah. So let's run through what we're speculating we're going to hear next week, next Tuesday. So first up is rumors are pointing to an LG-made Nexus 5X, which is the phone that I'm waiting for, and a Huawei-made Nexus 6P.
6P.
So we've got apparently we had some images leaked, and we've seen images for the past couple of weeks of this stuff.
There we go.
Now there's packaging.
Packaging.
Yep. Which is
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. It really makes you.
Oh my goodness. Yes,
that's some packaging.
Wow.
But then in the announcement, we were all expecting to see the next phones, the new Nexus 5 and a new Nexus 6. But as the announcement hints, we can expect much more. And apparently that might include a second-generation Chromecast, which is going to have improved Wi-Fi, fast play for quicker content playback, possibly due to the improved Wi-Fi speed, feeds for the main screen, so think like social media feeds or something along those lines as well. We're going to see a second Chromecast audio device, apparently that's codenamed Hendrix, and it plugs into any speaker via 3.5-millimeter headphone port with multi-room support if there are other similar devices connected simultaneously.
Sounds cool.
And then finally, possibly there might be an update to the Nexus Player, as the current Nexus Player is seeing price drops of about $50 in places like Best Buy. So rumors of that. But then also some information about Google and Spotify launching Chromecast support. Coming later this month. So if you've got, 9to5 Google here had the exclusive on this announcement. So if you've got Spotify coming on Chromecast later this month and the announcement is on September 29th, it seems like the Chromecast audio and the Chromecast upgrade might be in the makings. So, So 1 week from today, we'll be talking about all this without you, though. You won't be here.
I won't be here.
Yeah.
If I were in town, I would likely be going to the event, but I'm on vacation. Google didn't check with me before scheduling the event.
It's okay, Jason. I'm going.
You forgot?
Yes.
There we go. Flo's got us covered.
I'm going for Greenbot, but I'm also going for us. So
yes.
Two for one.
That's awesome. Exactly. So you're going to be there.
I am going to be there.
No,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, you forgot the most important feature of the new Chromecast. It looks like a whoopee cushion.
I was just thinking that. What is that little thing it looks like? It looks weird.
It looks like the industrial designers got their hands on the Chromecast, and as opposed to being a functional little thing that plugs in, they're adding a splash of color.
And what are those colors though? Yellow and red. Where's my purple?
Especially
Where's my greens
for something that goes in the back of your TV, like out of
sight.
Yeah,
I know. Right.
When everything matches in your kitchen like it does in mine, I'm the one with all the green appliances. You gotta have the same.
Does anyone see the back of your TV though?
I do. That's all that matters.
Oh, okay. The color.
Do you have the green KitchenAid mixer? I'm just curious.
I have the black one, but I have a green toaster and a green knife holder and a green French press.
I have the green KitchenAid and it has an Android sticker on it. So
yes!
So then, okay.
It's like an Android KitchenAid.
So then let me ask both you, Aaron, as well as Flo. Do you have green because of your liking for Android as a platform and the fact that Android is green?
This was all because this was what was on sale on Amazon.
Oh, okay,
all
right.
I mean, honestly.
I like the pressing questions of all that Android.
We get to
what
the
color are the
it.
Appliances in your kitchen? Is the talking about the announcement of announcements so beneath us that we move on to the color of appliances?
I think this is a sign, that we probably need to move on. I think this is a sign that really news is more important than rumors of news.
This is true.
But, it's hard not to talk about this stuff.
But it's
looking forward to a new Chromecast.
I'm looking forward to I want to see what the new phone is. I want to see what the specs are. I want Google to help me make this decision because right now my money's on the Nexbit. I might pony up on that Kickstarter and get a Nexbit. Although that means waiting until February.
That means waiting.
You won't have a phone very soon.
Hey, tune in tomorrow. I'm going to be interviewing them.
Oh, really? Cool.
Where can people find that?
The Android Central guys.
Oh, nice.
We're going to do it on the Big Android Barbecue. They're sponsoring the barbecue, so we're going to do an interview with them and Russell Hawley.
Awesome.
Nice. So
it'll be fun.
Do you think you're going to get your hands on a Nexbit early on and be able to play around with it and stuff?
I may have already had my hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, please, sir. Do tell me more.
You probably can't.
Okay. I saw it in Las Vegas last week. It was very, very early. So the hardware was just like reference hardware.
It wasn't early in the day.
It was early in the day. No, actually, it was in the evening. It was drinking time.
Okay.
It was at a party. So, I got to see it. I was not a fan when I first saw it on Kickstarter. I did not back it. And then after getting to play with it for a few minutes and talking with one of the founders of the organization and hearing a little bit more about the software, I'm kind of interested. I thought about backing it, but I'm going to wait and see where it goes, but they did some really clever things. Like I like how they did the fingerprint scanner, like in the power button. That's clever.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of the big giant round front facing speakers though. Other than that, the hardware's beautiful.
Well, yeah, I mean it looks great. We talked about it on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in it. I want to hear Flo's thoughts about the Moto X Pure, which we're going to hear later in the show, and then I want to hear what the Nexus 5 will be like. My key elements are going to be camera and battery. Those are my two things that I'm worried the most about. Not NFC, but
coming from the Nexus 5 that you have, camera's probably somewhat
important. One would hope. Every time I get a new phone, everyone says the camera's going to be better, and I'm still taking crappy photos.
We're kind of waiting for that one the magical time where a Nexus device comes out with a really good camera. Yep.
And you never know. This could be it, guys. Come on. Yeah.
From the Nexus 5, it can only get better, right? Like,
One would think, but you just don't know for sure.
It went down, and now it can only go up. Okay,
right. Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for.
I suppose so.
That's what I'm hoping for. So,
all right. Well, just know, and I know you well enough to know this, Ron, that if you decide to wait for the next bit, it's going to be a really long
it's
three
really
months.
Because
you're
going to see
surrounding you, you're going to see Nexus devices. You're going to still be waiting for your next bit.
Five months.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So we'll see how that goes.
I have a Zenfone 2. Really happy with this device. Right?
Oh, really?
You have from the G4.
Oh, nice. Mm. Excellent.
Yeah.
That is a solid
I was shocked. The G4
device.
Was slow and laggy, and so I switched
I
to
heard
the...
that it got really bad toward the end there. I've heard it some unhappy
horrible.
Customers.
If anybody wants to buy a G4, by the way.
Just email us, AAA@twit.tv. We'll put you in touch. I'm pretty certain I'm going to get emails about this, by the way, Aaron, so prepare yourself. I'll prepare myself as well. So, Flo, we've heard of Project Ara. What is that? Or is this different than Project Ara?
This is different. Oh, okay. We should say there's such thing as a Project Ara and a Project Aura, which is very difficult to pronounce if you have a weird accent like me. I don't know. I guess I don't. But so basically, Project Aura is a new initiative inside Google aiming to retool Google Glass and create related wearable devices. Google's hired some of Amazon's Lab 126 hardware engineers for the project. And yes, Lab 126 is responsible for the Fire Phone among Amazon's other hardware devices. LinkedIn profiles and job listings refer to Project Aura as Google Glass and beyond. So it looks like Google is putting fruits back in its glass basket.
Hmm.
Just came up with that metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting shift. I haven't heard much about glass. I sort of, it dropped out of my brain, and I kind of did that purposefully because here in the Bay Area in San Francisco, it got pretty bad with the glass. the glass news and what was going on here.
The glass backlash.
The glass holes.
I wasn't going to say that word. Because
you can say glass holes. We can say glass holes, right?
All the glass holes. We walk into bars, be like, meh. But it doesn't matter because Google is going to probably go back to the drawing board, try something new, hire some new people as it did from Amazon, and maybe probably take some of the 3D tech that was in the Fire Phone and try and do something with that, I'm assuming. I mean,
well, let's not assume and let's hope that the Fire Phone people are not like they're not coming to replicate what they did with the Fire Phone at Google. It's just that they are engineers that happen to work on a.
That's not at all what I meant. I just meant, you know, usually you hire people with past, you know, knowledge
and successes under their belt. I did see that a lot of these people, a few of the people, anyways, that were hired, came more from the tablet/Kindle side of things. One from the TV side of things. Aaron, you were just sporting glass. Does that mean that you are on board and excited about this this news here?
Aaron, are you a glass hole?
Aaron, I think you muted yourself.
You're muted.
Look at all these cares I give.
do you ever wear glass? Yeah.
It's, not anymore.
Is glass pretty much at this point shelved by everyone that owns one?
So I kept it because I've got a baby on the way, and I feel like it's really good for that.
It is.
Good for kids stuff. And when I had a little nephew, I still have a little nephew. Like he didn't die or anything.
Jesus,
it was really good for that. You know, like as he was growing up through the last couple of years, I keep giving it like past tense. But, he's still around. I just don't wear them when he's around anymore. But I'm gonna try and keep them because they're like one of my favorite photos is tossing him up in the air and. Like I got this photo of trying to catch him and my hands are there and he's like flying and it's kind of
awesome. Love that. That's so sentimental.
That's adorable.
I love it.
Glass is awesome around kids. I captured my youngest daughter taking her first steps while wearing glass.
Oh my god.
And it was really, really cool. It was like a hunch I had. I put them on and then I like talked with her for like 5 minutes and got her to walk. So and it's really cool, as you'll find. And by the way, congratulations, Aaron. That's awesome.
Thanks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. Yeah.
Oh boy!
Wow.
Pretty excited.
Prepare yourself.
He's beaming. Oh.
That's exciting, and I'm sorry for your lack of sleep at the same time. So there you go.
Well, it's
an entrepreneur. I'm used to that.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
We've heard some. I mean, you're not the first people to talk about how glass was great for child rearing.
I don't know about child rearing.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, playing with the kids and all that sort of stuff. But this whole thing is that, like, you know, glass isn't dead. Glass isn't going away. It's being like it was an experiment that they're learning from and to see what learnings they come out of it. And, you know, and the rumors of this is that, you know, they're going to work very closely with the team that worked on Cardboard and some of the other
Project Soli, which was the radar based stuff that they showed off at I/O. And that's really exciting.
Yep. Like, so imagine what they learned from glass with what they learned from Project Soli, what they learned from Cardboard and the VR experiments, what they learned from the Fire Phone. And all these sort of things, you know, and so I'm kind of curious what they will come out with. And it might be something that, you know, that we haven't even thought of, you know, or like, you know, is a different formation than glass. But glass definitely isn't dead or going anywhere. But I'm curious why not they haven't listened and made some sort of like parenting glass, like some sort of, you know, like, you know, parent cam or some sort of, you know, like marketed it that
glass
way.
That'd for be parents. Yeah,
so. I bet you they are thinking of some ways to like make it childproof or something or, just more resistant to having a child. Yeah. I mean, and all the things that come with it.
Well, I do know that if you wear glass and you have a young enough kid, all they're going to want to do once they recognize it is grab for it. But I also noticed that it's actually pretty darn resilient because if you've ever had glass in your hands, like you can bend that sucker at the frame and it does a really good job of that. I mean, it's meant to withstand that. Now, you can't bend the actual housing of the electronics.
My video's so bad. Sorry.
That's all right. It's a little fuzzy. It's okay. We can hear you loud and clear, and that's the most important part. But that's cool. I'm looking forward to whatever that is a couple of years down the line, however long it is, because I feel like we're
still
at the beginning of that.
It's still under Tony Fadell of Nest's purview. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows what's going to happen to Nest. So this is all something to watch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Samsung might be bringing a leasing program to its high-end Galaxy devices. Here in the U.S. anyways. It's a plan that obviously resembles Apple's phone leasing program. Apple's iPhone upgrade program is actually has a lot of people really excited about it. And in many ways, they're saying this is how you buy an iPhone if you're dedicated to the platform. $32 a month, 2-year contract. It entitles its users to the most current model of iPhone for those 2 years. And you also get AppleCare coverage. It kind of looks like Samsung's planning to do the same with their Galaxy phones. It's unknown what the cost of that plan would be. But at least with the iPhone upgrade program, the amount that you pay per month, that $32 per month, ends up being better than what you would pay to your carriers, if it was subsidized or whatever. So it could be a good deal. Samsung obviously is already having a big problem right now with selling, just moving its inventory of its high-quality devices. This would be a way around that. Do you think this would be successful for Samsung Flow? Do you think this would change direction?
I mean, they have to do this because everybody's going in this direction, like kind of trying to get away from the carriers. I read something today and it was a little inflammatory, just kind of talking about how Samsung's over, blah, blah, blah. But they did make a good point. I forgot where I read this, but they did make a good point that Apple was sort of like Samsung was sort of vying to compete with Apple in the really premium market. Mm-hmm. But this whole year has been about mid-range phones. It's been about mid-range phones and really bringing affordability back to smartphones and not making it such a hard to reach thing for the common consumer. So I'm very curious to see if Samsung's going to change its trajectory in the next year. I don't know. I'm curious. But this is a good way to buy a Samsung phone if you don't want to drop $800 on one.
They're expensive.
You don't have I mean, I paid like almost $500 on mine on contract, like just with the subsidy. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I've never paid that much for a smartphone before.
Yeah. Very quickly, within a year, I think many people's perception of what a phone should cost is being completely changed. The trajectory is totally different now than it was a year ago. And it's become suddenly hard to even understand where the value is on an $800 phone or whatever. Although this coming from someone who only in the last couple of years started buying off contract, they were all Nexus devices and they were all priced pretty okay, save for the Nexus 6.
300, 350.
I guess Nexus fans, again, except for Nexus 6 devices, because that was definitely a little bit more expensive. Nexus fans are kind of used to that mid-tier pricing, but with better specs.
And that's why, as I'm on the market for a new phone, when I saw the Nexbit, and even at the Kickstarter price of, $399 or whatever, I was like, oh, that's not too bad. You know, like, it's in my range. Like, $400, I feel like, is the cap of what I will pay.
Yeah.
As someone who's been off of carrier phones, oh, geez, going back several phones now. I've been off for a while. I've been off for, maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years. Yeah, so I can't go back. Jeez. And I'm not going to spend...
Don't go back.
I'm not going to spend $700, $800 on a phone. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So...
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Email?
Yes. So every now and then, I'm going to let you in behind the scenes. Sometimes we complain about things and we don't actually do the legwork. And luckily, you, the audience, like to write in and correct us. You might remember last week as I was complaining about Google Now not working with my personal email domain, which is a Google for Work apps account. And Tim writes in, no last name, just Tim, says, hey, let Ron know that Google Now and Google for Work will work together. You first need to enable it in your Google for Work settings. And instructions can be found on the Google support page. Just go into your Google admin console, click device management, mobile, device management settings, and then enable the Google Now box. So had I just looked, I probably wouldn't have anything to complain.
You just got shade.
This is what happens.
It's hard.
It's my own fault. Listen, the number of things in my life that I just sit back and complain without actually going, I should probably look into that. Yeah, so it's fine.
What's the point? Then what's the point? It's fine.
Right,
I'm with you, Ron.
And now we've all learned something. The more you know.
Exactly.
So there you go. Yep.
I come from the perspective of, if you didn't know this,
there are
a lot of other people that didn't know this. Yep. So this information is valid for a lot more people than just calling you out. I didn't put that in there to call you out necessarily.
Oh, no,
I put it in there because I know it's it's going to be valuable.
Well, no, I just like it because I just like it because it's something I specifically complained about, and then like knee-jerk reaction, someone's like, "No, actually, you just need to enable it," and it's like, "Oh, duh, of course." Like I up to the point last week where I complained about it, I never looked to see if I could enable it, and that's. Therein lies the problem. Listen, we're all busy.
Look,
who has
look
time?
There was a time when you couldn't, okay?
Yeah, I know.
There. True. I don't know if that helps.
There was a time where you couldn't just Google your problem with Google.
Yeah.
Yes. To like Alta Vista your problem. And geez, that was horrible.
Know what the issue is now? Actually, just this morning, I was troubleshooting something. And what I love, we've gotten to this point of collective knowledge where it's very rare for you to actually have a problem that someone else hasn't had before.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I'm noticing is that we've got so many years of forums and things like that backlogged that now there's a very good chance that someone else had your problem in 2007 and the solution is completely different. So yes. when Googling for solutions, look at the date and make sure it's relevant because we're getting to the point now where there's so many turnover in some of these applications that what worked in 2007 or 2008 on a forum mm-hmm. won't work now. So
it's super true. You know. Super true. Let's take a break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode, and that is Ring Video Doorbell. I have a Ring Video Doorbell. I installed it myself. What's that?
I have my own as well.
Oh, awesome. What do you think of the Ring Video Doorbell?
I love it. I love it. I've sold probably 15 of them.
Oh, wow.
So much.
Yeah. You sell them?
No, I don't. I just tell my friends and neighbors about them.
I was like, hey, I got your Ring Video Doorbell right here.
You should really look into some sort of affiliate program.
You're my coat.
Well, Ring Video Doorbell is awesome, as Aaron, I'm sure, can attest for many of the same reasons. Basically, you can install it into your existing doorbell setup. So if you already have a bell inside that's rung by an old traditional doorbell outside, you can literally drop this in its place and get all of the install kit included with the video doorbell. They give you the drill bit that you need and the proprietary screw to screw it in to make sure that somebody can't just come along and unscrew it and take it and suddenly they have a Ring Video Doorbell. It's proprietary. They give you a level so that you can install it and make sure that it's straight and all that kind of stuff. It was a super easy process. Did not take me very long at all. And if you, like I said, if you have a bell, you can hook it up so that it rings your bell inside. If you don't, you can do, what the Ring Video Doorbell actually does is it rings through to your phone. So you'll get a notification on your phone. You'll hear a little bell. And what do you know? It'll kick in video. You can see who's at your door at that moment. You can actually take the call so you can talk to them in real time. And they'll hear you talking and you can converse back and forth and say, hey, don't break into my home. Or probably more realistically, hey, just drop off the package at the front. I'll be there later. I'll pick it up.
Step away from the door. Step away from the door. The police are coming.
It's super helpful. In our house, my 5-year-old and 2-year-old daughters know that they can ring it while I'm at work. And I might just pick up and talk to them for a few minutes. So, I can see them getting home from school. It's a really cool extra perk, I suppose. But it's really good for security, right? Like it gives you the opportunity to monitor the house when you're out of the country, even. 95% of home break-ins happen during the day. And what is the first thing that they do to make sure you are not home? They ring your doorbell. Well, here in this case, they ring your doorbell. You're going to be notified, and you're going to actually have the ability to capture video of it. They have a cloud service. It's a paid subscription. I think it's like $3 a month. So it's very, very affordable. And they will capture a certain amount of video every time there's movement, if you have it set that way, or every time the bell is rung. And as you can see, the burglars, they'll just run off.
That video of the burglar is my favorite, by the way. It's great.
He's a really fast runner.
Yeah, no, he is.
He's really bad at burgling, though.
Yeah, really bad at burgling. Yeah.
I mean, he's fast.
Form.
Yeah. So anyways, you can check it out for yourself. Ring Video Doorbell is awesome. It's super convenient. And, it taps right into your phone. So I actually sprung for the Chime. It's an extra attachment. It also connects to your Wi-Fi in your house. And so basically, it's the doorbell. We didn't have a traditional doorbell inside. So now we have this. So now our phones ring. That rings like a traditional doorbell. And we definitely... always know that there's someone there. Right now, you can
change the tone of the chime.
It's the traditional ring chime. So it's the one that you get on your phone, and it's that doom ding doom. I think maybe the battery
battery's dead.
Yeah, we need to replace the battery or recharge the battery rather. It has a rechargeable battery, by the way. So if you don't have it plugged into persistent power, you can recharge that battery, and that battery will actually last up to a year, depending on how. You have it set. If you have it set to detect all sorts of motion and all that stuff, it's going to last less. But if you have it dialed in perfectly, it'll last longer than that. You can get $10 off the normal price of the Ring Video Doorbell. protect your home, have peace of mind, all that with Ring. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid to check it out for yourself. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid and get $10 off the normal price. Use that URL and you'll get that discount. We thank Ring for their support and for protecting our homes and all that other fun
and
stuff.
And allowing you to see your children.
That's right. Although sometimes, is it bad of me? I don't answer. I'm like, I'm too busy.
We're going to leave that one out there. Okay. We're going to let everyone
do it all the time.
Think about that.
Oh, or you'll
the guy, the solicitor, he'd be like, sorry, I'm in the back going to the restroom. Not interested. Go away.
And the solicitor's like, yeah, gladly. Yeah. See you later.
I'm pooping. Leave me alone.
You just had to take it to the next level, yeah. Didn't you?
I was going there. I was setting it up. I was going there. Man.
All right. Before we get into too much more trouble, let's jump into hardware.
All right. Flo. I am waiting with bated breath to find out what Flo has to say about the Moto X Pure.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't have that much to say.
You've got more than I've got. I've never seen one.
Here's how I customize it. I feel really bad. I'm not there in person to show you, but
I
customize it this way. It is like a mauve color, and this was supposed right here. This little accent. This was supposed. It's backwards. I don't know how to make it work. This is supposed to be rose gold, but it didn't really come out rose gold, which is kind of a bummer.
Wait a minute. What's supposed to be rose gold?
The little accent.
The camera accent?
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. We got it right here.
This
like rose. Right there. Thank you.
That's supposed to be rose gold.
Rose goldish, but it's like I think I picked the wrong color.
Oh,
whatever.
Okay. Yeah, this can customize it.
Yeah. You
know. All right. Regardless, I've been just sort of using it since I got it yesterday. It's a lot more dense than the Galaxy S6 Edge I've been carrying around, so I'm not used to carrying around like a phone that's been kind of this heavy. I feel like if I chopped somebody in the head with it, I would probably split their head open. Yeah. That's how like heavy it feels. It's how I'm trying to describe it, since you can't physically feel it. It's really fingerprinty. It is fast, of course, because there's like nothing on it. The camera is a lot faster in the last Moto X. The colors, they look better than what I'm used to, but I haven't done the lab test yet, so I can't really give you the 100%, you know, if it's good or not, just yet. And I have yet to make a phone call on it because I haven't popped my SIM in yet. I got to run all the benchmarks and do the battery test and do all that to really, like, until I can finally use it as my daily driver. So yeah.
I mean, you got it yesterday, so you're kind of in the setting it up phase of things.
I'm crazy about the color, though. I love it. I love the maroon, and I'm glad I got to customize one this time around because the last, not that I'm complaining, but the last 2 years, they've just sent me one. Oh, darn.
One of random.
Yeah, but this year I got to make it my own. And what?
I missed that. Have a hard life getting your free phone sent to you.
I know. My life is pretty hard.
Listen, I got the free phone and I couldn't get it customized. And
it was so frustrating.
First world problems that only millennials have.
You mentioned the weight. Do you prefer a heavier or a lighter phone? I've noticed some of the brand new like Samsungs and Apples feel like they're just going to fall apart in my hand. They're so light.
I know, and I know that's an issue for some people. However, when you are a woman and they do not put pockets on your things, because we don't have pockets on anything anymore in our pants or our jackets, you want something that's light enough to sort of like clutch in your hand. But maybe the heavier one would be good because if I'm home, you know, I'm going to take BART after this, so.
You need it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I do. I'm comparing it to my Nexus 5, and I do feel the weight difference.
Just stop comparing things to the Nexus 5.
I know. I really got to stop doing that.
Literally, everything is better.
I love the Nexus 5. Oh.
The Moto X Pure Edition comes with this like bumper in the case that's supposed to go around it. Mine is not wearing it right now because it is really inconvenient to have on. So when you have it on, you can't just like plug in any cord that you want in there. It doesn't fit, which is super annoying.
Yeah, that's
why would you include a bumper case that doesn't work with third-party cables? There was one other thing I wanted to mention that unfortunately completely slipped.
I think one of the big dings on the Moto X Pure is battery life, from what I understand, and I guess that will remain to be seen. We have it here in studio. Like, Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do the full like battery test on it. I usually do it when they're a little like after they've been a little used.
Mm-hmm.
Because having it fresh out of the box doesn't make any sense to run numbers on that.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, you got to install your apps, have your apps all running and syncing and all that kind of stuff. We've got Leo's Moto X Pure here. That's what Ron's taking a look at right now. Leo dropped it off to me yesterday just to kind of hang out with for a day.
What does the wood feel like?
Slippery.
Yes.
Really slippery, I think.
You know, that's supposed to age really nicely.
I'm sure.
After a year from now, because that's like a thing with the smartphone vendors, putting leather, you're putting wood, you know, you put these natural things and mm-hmm. it's supposed to like become this heirloom of yours after some usage.
You can see how old the phone is by counting the rings.
I've been doing Android podcasts for like 7 years now. That's the first time I've ever heard. Your phone will age really nicely. And I love that. That's amazing.
It does. I've seen my boss's G4, the way it's aged after his using it, and like the leather looks like a used coach purse.
Completely. That was going to be the example that I was going to give as well. The leather backing. I mean, I guess it depends. Some people like the worn leather look, but I feel like on a phone,
not so
like
much.
Miriam brought it in, I believe.
G4.
She's the one that had the G4 with the leather backing, and the leather had started to kind of like crinkle a little bit, almost like it had shifted a little bit, so it wasn't fitting as tightly as it did. Okay, that doesn't look good. Like,
but the Moto X is the last one was kind of gross, by the way.
The last Moto X was gross?
The last Moto X was the one with the leather back, the wood back.
Uh-huh.
It looked kind of gross in some people's hands. And I don't know if it's because they have super greasy hands and they should be washing their hands more often, please. Or if it's because that's the way that the material ended up being after a while, but it was gross. I'm sorry to say this. I did not want to put my hand on that phone because it looked like really disgusting. And I'm just bringing that up because I think it's really important for OEMs to really think about like the materials they're using when they're making phones, especially now that we're all getting all wild and crazy about, you know, different sort of things. So this little ridgy one will be fine. Oh, it sounds good. You hear that?
Cool. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's a nice, you know, one thing I do like about it is the display kind of has a little bit of a rounded kind of quality to the front. I don't know if that's a pleasing aesthetic kind of thing with phones, but I know that that's probably not the best.
That's a bubble. Or is that like the bubble of the top glass?
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know if that's as much the screen as it is the bezel, but yeah.
I really want to hear these speakers, because stereo speakers.
Well, if it's anything like the Nexus 6, it's awesome to have these front-facing speakers. I don't know how the front-facing speakers on the Moto X Pure compare to the Nexus 6, but man, the Nexus 6 is great as a standalone like music player. Just be like, I don't have anything else. I'm just going to fire it up through here.
It's as good as it could be on a phone. On a work trip and you're doing your hair, you need something in the background. You have your phone.
Hallelujah.
Jason told me the exact same thing when he got the Nexus 6. He's like, I was in the hotel room doing my hair.
I did just get a haircut.
You look quite handsome.
Got to make it look good. Brian, are you ready?
For what?
Are you ready?
He's not ready to read the chat, that's for sure.
I think you better get that little piece of media that I'm dancing around ready. And maybe the current one.
Keep riffing.
The current version of this particular piece of media.
You need a stall? I got a question.
Questions from you, sir.
I can stall. You should have just tossed it to me. I got this.
Oh, okay. All right, Aaron.
So we've been talking about phone backs, you know. What's your favorite phone back so far on any device, all the way back to the G1? What's your favorite back?
Backing of the phone. Ooh, that's a good question.
Which one was like the rubberized one?
The rubberized.
Or was that the Nexus 5.
The Nexus 5.
Yeah, the Nexus 5. Yeah,
a couple of them have done the rubberized.
I actually do like the backing of the Nexus 5.
I like it too. Mm-hmm. I can grip it.
Nexus 5 was glass.
Nexus 4.
Nexus 4 was glass.
I was going to say, I really liked the 4
that one was
because
the terrible
of the pattern.
One. 5 was
the
a little bit better.
The 4 because of the pattern and like the way it is on Sony phones is really hot. I think it's, and like the purple one.
I think the back on the OnePlus was my favorite. The sandstone.
Really?
I really liked
that. I actually like that too. And it, you know, gave it a little friction so you didn't feel like it was just going to slip out of your hand.
It feels like velour to me, which is just reminds me of juicy sweatsuits, and so I don't want anything like that.
How do you get velour out of that? It's like sandpaper. It's not, velour is like soft and like velvety, right?
I know,
like,
but it kind of feels like it, so it reminds me a little bit and just puts me back into those days at the mall. Like, I don't want to be there.
Interesting. I love the perspective that flowed.
Sorry.
No, I think it's awesome.
I spent a lot of time in malls. What can I say?
It's fair.
I spent a lot of time forgetting my time in malls.
With no pockets.
I think we're ready, aren't we, Brian, for a little breaking news.
Oh, that was totally worth it.
All right. Phew, we got there.
Oh, man. I forgot that's what it was. Like, I got excited because I'm like, oh, we get to use the new breaking news thing. And I forgot that I've seen it already.
That it exists, yeah.
And that it's that. So good job, Ryan.
Get used to it. That's the one we're using for the next year, or at least until they change it. Android Police has the exclusive, and as a result, so do we. Well, so it's not exclusive anymore. We're just sharing their exclusive. Here is the Nexus 6P, the Huawei 6P, apparently. Looks like press renders. You could totally see this exact image displayed on the Play Store page. We've got the little kind of periscope-looking top thing around the camera.
That's interesting.
That's a love or hate design touch. From what I've gathered on the internet, people are either like it or absolutely despise it. Fingerprint reader on the back there, as you saw. I don't know. What'd you think? If this is what we're getting... Is it what you're getting, Ron?
It's not. It's the 6-inch, right?
Yeah,
it's the big one. No,
this is the 5.7-inch.
No, yeah, I don't need a movie theater in my pocket.
Okay.
I want the smaller one.
It's got two front-facing speakers.
It looks nothing like a Huawei phone, which is what the rumors were saying. It looks nothing like the Mate S or whatever.
Mate, yeah.
The one that just came out recently. Well, that's too bad.
You wanted it to look more like the actual Huawei phone.
Yeah,
they look good.
That pop out camera. Mm-hmm. It's popped out in the back, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like.
That's not going to be friendly to putting it on a table.
Well, now this is a 2D image. Flo, you'll be at the event where you'll get hands-on time with the phone.
Get hands-on time.
So maybe, who knows? I mean, I kind of feel bad. I feel like it's been spoiled a little. I wish I hadn't have seen that. Yeah. I wanted, like episode 7, I wanted to wait until Tuesday, the 29th, and be surprised by what Huawei brought to me.
Only a week away. maybe we should name this episode something along the lines of like spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's rumored. We don't know.
It's the internet. We just live there.
Exactly.
You know?
Did you see the last episode of Mr. Robot?
No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Can I tell you how many, like a handful of my podcasts have all had that same problem? So it's been very funny.
Yes. Don't even go there. I have not, by the way, and I don't want it spoiled.
Did you read the book yet? Did you read The Martian?
No. I really need to. I need to do all these things. Believe me, I get it.
Maybe if you stopped answering the doorbell for your kids and write a book.
Is that all? Oh, boy. I do. I take full responsibility. I need to read The Martian.
No, it's good.
Because the trailer looks awesome, and now I really want to see it.
Just
I feel like I can't see it.
Put on the audiobook while you're asleep tonight, and then by tomorrow morning,
you'll know it.
Absorb the entire thing.
Then I can tell everyone that I did.
And get the book and put the book like on you as you sleep, and you'll listen and absorb.
Yeah. And then when you wake up, all the sweat will have... put the ink in your body, and then you can read it on your stomach.
Osmosis, wearable technology.
Where does this conversation go?
E-ink.
I'm not even sure it works like that, you guys.
Yes, it does. Totally. Okay. Totally works like that.
Amazon
agree,
I don't know where this conversation is
pioneering the wearable e-ink. That was what they cut from their announcement last week.
You could just read books on your arm.
They're calling it We-ink. I just came up with that,
awesome
by the way.
Good job.
Trademark.
Trademark. Yeah.
Copyrighted.
It's all yours.
You license it to Amazon, right?
Back it up with an invention. Yeah. It's yours. Amazon, speaking of e-ink, but not necessarily here, more in the Kindle sense, but here, this is something totally different. Amazon unveiled its new Fire tablet lineup. 4 models.
Interesting.
Starting with a model called Fire. It's $49.99. This was rumored.
Sorry.
It actually happened. Aaron is not impressed. 1024 by 600 display. 1.3 gigahertz quad-core processor, 8 gigs of storage, Micro SD up to 128 gigs, 2-megapixel rear-facing camera, VGA front-facing camera, 7-hour battery life.
VGA front-facing camera.
Yeah, 1.2 megapixel, here. I believe, is what it is. You know, it's confidence monitor more than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about all it is. You can get 6 Fire tablets for the price of 5 using Fire, the number 6, and Pack at checkout.
I love that. I love that you can get a 6-pack and a buy 5, get 1 free. And for $50 each, talk about like Christmas. The number of people who are going to do this, it's going to be like Bill Murray and Scrooge, like tablet, kitchen towels, tablet.
Yes.
So
the Twit Brick House has been lit afire, so to speak. A bunch of people have gone in on packs.
Yeah.
And everybody's getting one. Because when you do that, it ends up coming out to like 46. It's like even less than $49.99. It's not, obviously, this is not like crazy specked out tablet.
Oh, this is
but this
great
is a
entry.
Media consumption device.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is for $50.
That's what all the conversation has been around these announcements, and there's other stuff, you know, I don't want to get ahead of it, but like we've said time and time again that Amazon's target for these devices are the prime customers. And it looks like now finally with these devices, they're just like, hey, just give them what they want. Just give them the media content and have them be a way to absorb their content from Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Aaron, before I continue with the other devices, Aaron, not impressed. Is it the specs that don't impress you? What do you think?
I don't know. 7 tablets they announced today? 6 tablets? It seems like a little excessive. But
4.
You know,
4 tablets.
There's a screen size for everybody. 4 tablets.
Yes.
The holidays are coming. The holidays are approaching.
They want to cover all price points.
It's a steal, though. You know, glue some magnets and stick it on your fridge. Now you've got a smart fridge.
Yeah.
You know,
now, our high-res eyes are going to laugh at the resolution on the tablet if we were to take it seriously for our own use, probably. I'm guessing 1024x600 is not very high res. So there's that. But you know what, like for kids or something, or you know, for just a media tablet to like keep in your car, you know. I forgot everything else, I have this at least. Speaking of kids, the Fire Kids Edition, they did the first version of the Kids Edition last year. It started at $149. This year it's $99. Specs are the same as the Fire, except it also includes this retooled kid-proof case, 2-year warranty with no questions asked replacement policy. You can literally do anything to the tablet and get it replaced within that 2 years. Year of free time unlimited included. That's 10,000 books, videos, educational apps, and games. Amazon also worked with Common Sense Media to curate 20,000 vetted sites and YouTube videos. I mean, you know, hey, for like $100, here's a tablet that your kid can go crazy with and literally destroy and get replaced for free.
That's good. And I was laughing at Common Sense Media.
That's interesting. I don't find that boring. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Fire HD 8 and the Fire HD 10, 8-inch, 10-inch tablets, $149.99 and $229.99. It's a 1280x800 quad screen, quad-core, 1.5 gigahertz processor, 8 or 16 gig storage options for the 8-inch, and 16 or 32 gig storage options for the 10, and a couple of cameras that probably aren't very good, 8-hour battery, and then
a couple of cameras that probably aren't very good.
I don't
good.
Know. Let's just face it. Most tablet cameras suck.
Yeah,
so
true. Yeah.
Whatever. They are what they are. Blue, magenta, tangerine, and black options on those.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They came out swinging.
I think
this. Yeah. This is going to be a really good tablet for grandma.
Yeah.
I see a lot of moms and grandmas and dads
and grandpas
on BART with Kindle tablets. Just
really?
Like the cheapest Kindle tablets. Yeah, they love them. They like, I'll see people are just like watching Netflix really intently as they get to sit down and I have to stand up for the entire 40 minutes. But yeah, it's a good gift for your parents. Maybe I'll get my mom one. Yeah,
might upgrade my mom's. Hers is 3 years old.
Yeah, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, they've even added software to the new, so there's an updated version of Fire OS UI, and part of it ties into your Amazon Prime account where it will automatically in the background pre-download movies and TV shows that you've watched or that are in your queue or whatever.
Oh, cool.
So how many times when you're leaving for a flight and you do that checklist, I got to pack, I got to charge or whatever, the thing that you always forget, at least I always forget, is
download movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now what they're doing is they're anticipating that, and so you're going to get on the flight and you're like, oh, it already did. Like, I don't know how they're picking what movies you're going to download and whether or not they're ones you want to watch, but the content will be there already.
Something's better than nothing.
That's really smart in terms of this being a media consumption device. Like, Amazon, I think this is a big step forward in, like, what is this, the third iteration of these tablets? Or
of the Fire Line? Yeah, about that, I think. Yeah. It's probably third.
I think it's interesting. I think, I mean, for the...
They found their niche, definitely. They found their niche, and... You go, Amazon.
Yeah.
They do it.
They've definitely changed Fire OS to be a little less proprietary looking. Like, Fire OS used to be this gigantic, ugly icon media carousel thing. Looked nothing like Android. Now it looks like a launcher that you might find in the Play Store. It's not necessarily vanilla Android with the launcher that you get out of the box, but it looks a little bit more familiar. It's got the rows of icons and everything like that. Still, it kind of has the categories, but they've tooled
it. That's the thing everybody does now. Like, that's what everybody's used to.
So that's good. It makes it feel a little bit less kind of like a, I don't know. It makes it feel a little bit more legit, at least in my mind.
I bought my mother a Kindle Fire, I think Gen 1. And actually, she just shattered the screen recently. So, like, I'm all over this for Christmas. I mean, like, this is, I think...
$49.99 could be the cheapest Christmas gift you ever buy your mom.
I probably would go for the 8 or 10.
Did your mom have a problem with buying books on your account, too?
No, she does her own account. She's good.
I want to keep buying your books.
And just real quick, updated Fire TV that actually has Alexa support now. That's cool.
And 4K support.
That's right, for $100. Fire TV stick, voice remote bundle for $50, and all that is shipping in October.
This has nothing to do with the Fire Stick, and this is all very nice upgrades. My problem with Alexa. All right,
You have a problem with Alexa?
No, I have a problem with Alexa's name.
Oh.
All right, so why isn't it the Amazon Alexa? Why is it the Amazon Echo? Like, so Alexa's the software, I understand that. But the fact that the device is called the Echo confuses me.
Because you can't buy people, Ron. That's trafficking.
So Echo is the device.
Right.
Alexa is like Android. So you buy your...
Sure.
It's like, Alexa is just the voice part of the operating system.
Yeah.
So they're taking that to other places.
Yeah, no, and I understand. And it's cool that they're adding Alexa to the Fire Stick. But do you see my car?
I think it's
like,
awesome.
It just seems like a disconnect. When you buy an Amazon Echo and then say, okay, Alexa. Like, I just say, okay, Echo.
It makes no sense, too. Like, Alexa's not a name that people use anymore, maybe, possibly.
Well, Alexa's also... out there. Alexa's a website indexing service that I believe Amazon owns.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
Right?
Do they own Alexa?
I thought they did.
I had no idea.
And I mean,
that makes a little more sense actually now. Yeah. And everything I said the last 5 minutes.
Yes. Well, go to Alexa.com. It says an Amazon company.
And Alexa.
Wow, I did not know that.
And also, Alexa not being a common name is actually a good thing when you're waking a device up with a special trigger name, right? So if that's a name that you're not likely to say to somebody.
Well, what if you, I worked with named, Alexa once.
Right? I mean, it's not impossible. But it's not like, hey, John, right, I've got a question for you, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Anyway, I just think it's strange, but nonetheless. Because you know why? Because they own the Alexa rights, and they're like, oh, give it a name. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Quickly moving on, not to be left out, Xiaomi announced a new phone, the Xiaomi Mi 4C. It was announced for China. And this is a 6-core Snapdragon 808, 5-inch 1080p IPS display, 2 GB of RAM, 16 GB of storage, or 3 GB of RAM and 32 GB of storage, USB Type-C, which is taking over the world, dual SIM, it's got quick charge in the battery, and it's roughly costs about $200 to $235. But what's neat about this, and if you scroll back up there, Brian, they've rolled out Edge Tap, which allows you to tap into your phone's full potential.
Oh, yeah.
Just single tap on the side of the phone to take a photo or double tap to go back, I assume, in a browser or in an app. But that's pretty cool. A little user interaction there on the side of the phone. That's neat. So I dig it. So,
yeah. At least they're trying something new.
Yeah.
So is there a button or is just...
Or is the whole thing just...
The whole thing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty cool.
Oh, interesting. Obviously... Not going to get that in the U.S. or probably outside of China unless you're getting it imported. But if you were in China and bought it, it would be roughly around $200 to $235 U.S.,
bad.
Which is, yeah.
Hey, listen, you can tap into your phone's potential. That's something that we're all trying to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, tell me about it. All right. Hey, why don't we go into the other kind of hardware real quick? We'll just do that, the wearable kind. I have here
Ooh, look at this.
A new wearable device in a box. In a box. Do you know what's in this box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? The Huawei Watch.
I can't wait.
This is like a pre.
This is some nice packaging.
I know.
Look at this. Tell me about it. Wait a minute. Wait, let's tilt this up. It says timeless design, smart within.
Okay.
It's like poetry.
OMG. I presented it to my boss. Like, I was handing him like piece of jewelry. Like, I brought you something. It is a Huawei watch.
Look at this.
And it's very beautiful.
It already comes connected to an account. Whose account is it?
Oh, my goodness. How did they get my account info? So, first of all, it comes with a charging puck, which may look familiar.
Yeah, there you go.
It kind of looks like an Apple Watch charging puck, except this is not magnetic charging. You can see the little contacts right there. And that ends up kind of being a little bit of a pain in the butt because it'll accept the watch onto the charging puck anyway. But if it's lined up perfectly, then it'll charge, and all you get is this tiny little...
It isn't magnetic. I remember when I used it that it would just seal together.
It's magnetic, but it's not wireless charging. So it's magnetic. It sticks to it.
Right.
But it'll stick to it no matter how you put the watch on there. And if the contacts don't line up, then you're not going to get charged.
Trust me, as an owner of a watch with these same contacts, I miss it more than I thought I ever would. And not that I miss it, like I think fondly of it, is that it doesn't charge.
I remember when.
Let's see here. I gotta get rid of
it. Looks good on your wrist, Jason.
There we go.
Yeah. See, I can't pull it off. It's too big for me.
Yeah, you know,
it's really thick.
It is. Okay, so check this out. This is the Moto 360. I don't know what best way to show that off, maybe. It's a little thicker than the Moto 360, right? This is the old mod, the last year's Moto 360. So it's definitely a little bit thicker. It makes up for it, I think, in the front-facing kind of profile, the head-on profile. The Moto 360 is a wider base than the Huawei watch. And I think just in general, the Huawei watch just feels, it feels and looks like a real watch, save for, you know, the extra thickness right here. But I honestly, like, for my size wrists, it works for me. I can see how this wouldn't work for every wrist, but it totally works for me.
The way they did the straps, the way they connect, it kind of negates some of the thickness.
Well, I'll show you the straps. This is actually pretty
cool. So they
connect to the lugs, right? But check this out. It's just like an easy kick.
Wow.
So, yeah, and of course, nice. I'm doing this sideways, so it's a little bit harder than it would be if I was doing it any other way. But there we go. So there you go. You can see they retooled the heart rate sensor. Basically, what they did is they added another light sensor in there. And personally, I've always had issues getting heart rate detection on wear devices. Like, I've had to cinch up the band or move it around a couple of times to get it. I got it registered every time with this. So if that's something that's important to you,
nice.
They say it's improved, and my testing showed that it was. Comes with 40 watch faces. Of which there's so many they haven't preloaded, apparently. When there's 40 watch faces, not all of them are amazing, but you're going to find at least a couple that are really good. I got great battery life with this. The first couple of days, I had always on, set to on, and basically the ambient mode. And I had it off the charger. Man, I think I had it off the charger for 15 hours, and it was 33% when I set it on the charger at the end of the day.
It's time to drink water, by the way.
Oh, it is.
I just got a notification.
Thank you. I'll do that. I've only completed 60 ounces. I have 45.3 ounces unfinished.
We've been through this, Jason.
Yeah, I'm trying my best, Sean. I'm doing what I can. Overall, I'm really impressed with it.
No flat tire?
No flat tire. But the trade-off there is that there's no ambient light sensor.
Okay.
So what you set it at, as far as brightness is concerned, is what you get. This is its ambient mode. But ambient mode and ambient light sensors are obviously two different things. Ambient light sensor would mean if I go into a bright environment, it would set brightness higher than it would if I was in a dark environment. It doesn't do that dynamically like the Moto 360 does. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that's a downside. But I found really good results with the battery regardless. So maybe it's not. You know, in my opinion, as long as it gets me through a day with extra juice so that I know that on really busy, long days, I know it's going to get me through, that's good enough for me because I charge every night anyways. And in my time with it, it's done that with plenty left at the end of the day. And it's the highest res Android Wear device you can get right now. It's 1.4-inch AMOLED, 400 by 400, so that's 268 pixels per inch. Super sharp, really sharp in person, and the colors just kind of jump. And yeah, it's awesome. Fast charge also. So that's the Huawei Watch. I'm going to do a full review, and that should, I believe, be in this week's Before You Buy at twit.tv/BYB. But I think Huawei did a really good. This is a really great first.
Is it a really great?
It's really great.
Wow, that Huawei Watch is really well.
They're really going after the luxury market with this particular family of watches, Huawei watches. I really like the gold ones that they had. Those were super nice. Those were ones that I would wear. They look like things that they would sell at like a department store. But the problem is that they're about $600, $700 because they get that's the cheapest model. I think that one's like $350.
Yeah, $350 is your baseline, like this, basically stainless steel, leather band is way better than the Moto 360 leather band. By the way, you can tell this one's not going to wear nearly as quickly as the other one. So $349 up to $499, and then if you're waiting for rose gold, that's going to come in at $699 with the leather band, $799 with the gold link band. The trick here is that Android Wear, no matter how anyone wants to sell it to you, you know, as far as longevity is concerned, like I read it somewhere, and it's totally true. Last year's Android Wear devices aren't necessarily holding up as well as we thought maybe they would.
Yep.
You know, you go, oh, well, there's, you know, Android Wear is going to, you know, be resilient as far as updates are concerned. So you get a watch, it's going to last you 4 or 5 years, whatever. Already we're kind of seeing, like, you know, the need or the desire for newer. Maybe that's because we're at the beginning of this whole Android Wear experiment.
Right.
And maybe that'll stabilize in the next couple of years. But well, yeah, I'm $799 for an Android Wear watch, in my opinion, is way more than you ever need to spend. Yeah, don't do that.
No, I'm on a full year now with my Guatch, and I'm ready for a new one. I'm ready for a new model, but I also don't feel as if I need to spend more than $150 on one. You know, like I just, you know.
You're
like,
also really lucky though that it looks really good on your wrist, because I can't wear that. And that's been really frustrating for me as a woman, that none of the watches that I have reviewed or that my colleagues have reviewed have looked good on me. Like they're not comfortable. I tried for a while to live with the Watcher Bane, but even like
that thing's huge.
It is huge, and it looks like the gold one looks really good with my certain outfits. I mean, honestly, it looks good with certain outfits, but with others, I can't wear it. Like if I have short sleeves on, it's this huge thing. You know, it's just ridiculous.
So do you think that it's a product marketing decision, and that there aren't enough women interested in this device to justify that?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's because
I do, because when I asked Huawei about if they were marketing the rose gold one to women, because some of their female product managers were wearing them, and I was like, that looks really good with your outfit. Like that's something that I would wear. It looks like something Michael Kors would make, and you know, he makes all the ladies' watches. And the woman said to me, I actually didn't think about that. This would look good, really good on a woman. It's like, yeah, totally. I mean, we're wearing men's watches anyway. We just can't handle how big they are sometimes, you know?
Right.
Flo, how do you feel? JJ in the chat room asked this question. It's a great question, totally related. How do you feel about the women's edition Moto 360? Like, did you see that in person?
Yeah, it's super nice. That and the Zen Watch too. That's coming up. So we'll get to that in a future show.
All right. Can't wait.
So there's hope. There's hope for the yes. Watches and women and Huawei.
We just want to start the conversation.
Women and watches and Huawei.
Women and watches and Huawei, our new show. Women and watches and Huawei, where we just cover women, watches, and Huawei.
And that's it.
If you need a co-host, let me know.
All right, you're in. You and me, Aaron.
I'm in.
Wonderful. All right, before we move on to apps, let's take a break and thank our second sponsor of today's episode. That is LegalZoom. You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. I don't understand it most of the time. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or you want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They can make it easy for you. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and I to confidently navigate the legal system. I've been using LegalZoom myself for the last 5 years for our living will and trust, and it was just perfect because we didn't know where to go, we didn't know where to start, and we went into LegalZoom. This was before I worked at Twit even. And just went through the process. It was super easy. They've simplified the process even since then, so it's even easier. If you need help with incorporation, with LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and just everything, pretty much, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. LegalZoom's not a law firm. It's very important, but that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing. You'll get customer reviews so you know exactly what you're going to receive up front. And if you do need legal advice, LegalZoom has a network of independent attorneys to provide straightforward guidance and all the information and knowledge that you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today. You can start building your own future the right way. That's LegalZoom.com. And don't forget to enter AAA in the referral box at checkout, and you'll save even more. We thank LegalZoom.com for their support of All About Android. All right, it's time to check out some apps.
Hysterical apps.
This is apps section. Hell Freezes Over edition.
This is going to be awesome.
Yes, I can't wait. All right, let's hear it.
All right, so we're going to start first with the app that everybody is angrily talking about. Mm-hmm. Move to iOS. It's Apple's first app in the Google Play Store.
Oh,
that's so aggressive. And I just feel like, I just feel like we should maybe read a couple of the reviews very quickly.
I heard the community
what some
really,
people are saying.
The community really rallied around this app and gave some.
They really rallied around it. They said, do not install unless you want a lobotomy. stay away from my life, Apple. That was this is pure garbage.
This Apple app kidnapped my
please.
Children.
That was one of my faves. One of the best ones. I'd rather be shot in the face.
Oh, that's not good. I don't think that's a good review. That's probably a one star.
This is like some of these people stay away from this app unless you're ready to live your life with just one without one kidney. Like what? Like.
But then there came the follow up app, which really rallied behind those that were upset at the fact that Apple infiltrated their beloved Google Play Store, which I just want to say it's because of Google's open and loving nature. Well, open nature that Apple was allowed to have this app in the App Store.
Sure,
remember that.
So Google's the hippie tech giant.
Stick with Android, which is my new app that I like to troll my friends with. Hey, do you want to use this app?
Click here to stick with Android.
Press it. Congratulations. You did it.
Oh, I did it.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, hang on,
Jason. Jason, I want to do it. I want to stick with Android.
Okay, you do it, Android. You do it, Ron.
Yeah, I did it.
You stuck with it.
We're still on Android.
We did it together.
We did it together, guys.
I can just keep doing it over and over.
We have a community that does it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
These reviews are... What I love is somebody said... What the hell? Apple can't even manage to follow Android's material design philosophy.
Oh my god, that's so true.
Like, why would they?
I was thinking about that when I heard it. I was like, I hope it's material design because we're going to be hearing about this.
Oh, I love it.
Well, brace yourselves because this is not going to be the only Apple store or Apple app in the Play Store.
Well, but here's the other thing too is that so it got 30 – so wait, hang on. So it has an average rating of 1.7 stars. It got 6,455 star ratings, 32,000 one-star ratings. But it says the installs are 100,000 to 500,000. So clearly 468,000 people are moving to iOS or they're just checking it out.
Or 100,001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I hope Tim Cook doesn't use this in the next like thing.
Scroll down, Brian, to look at the total number of installs. That's the number that worries me. The 100,000 to 500,000. Like, that's a very big number.
I don't know. It could also be a lot of people just installing it just to see.
See. Yeah,
really, though, in Android terms, that's minuscule.
Yeah, that true. That's a very good point. That's
it
good point.
Is. It only works with Android 4 and up. Yeah. What is that, Apple? Makes fun of Android being Slark. Fragmented. Look at you. You support 4 and up.
Oh. You'd think they'd be smart to make it requiring, you know, like really, like even the worst phone, you know? Anyway.
Now, probably worth mentioning that Google couldn't. From what I understand, Google could not make this app and put it into the App Store iOS because of Apple's terms of service.
Because of the word Android.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
did they? I haven't read. Did they try to do that? Like, do a move to Android app?
They should. Because
that would be fair.
No, they shouldn't. This kind of playground, you know, interaction is stupid. What are we, 5? Move to iOS. Move to Android. This is dumb. It's such a passive-aggressive move.
I don't know if I necessarily see it as we created this app because we want to thumb our noses specifically at Android.
Yep.
I think they created it because they wanted to make a tool. I mean, sure, yes, it's can also operate in that regard just by existing. But there might be some value to people who do switch from one platform to another to migrate their information over. I know that. I feel like Motorola make an app like this? Like Motorola Migrate?
I was just looking.
Right?
Admittedly, Google does own switchtoandroid.com, which goes to android.com/switch and has specific instructions on how to transfer your iTunes library and all this stuff like that. Right. It's not in an app though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to see who does though.
Yeah.
This is great radio. I don't know if Motorola does or not.
No, Motorola has Motorola Migrate.
There you go.
Yeah, you install on your Android phone and then it works.
Yeah, right? Motorola Migrate.
You know, yeah. Apple Music Play or iTunes or something, you know, get that on Android. That's how you draw people over to Apple.
Apple Music.
Clamoring to use iTunes.
Apple Music is coming to Android sometime soon. Probably very soon,
To Windows Phone. Thank you, Brian.
They exist.
How many people have downloaded that? How many people?
Right.
People were so much nicer.
The same as iOS.
Yeah, they were.
But like the rating is 3.8 compared to. You know why? Because Satya Nadella has not said anything trolly and mean.
What I think is interesting is that if you Google for Motorola Migrate, the page on Motorola's site for the app is Motorola Migrate by Motorola, Google company. I love that. I love when that happened when someone didn't update that page.
Oh no!
Oops.
So anyway, all right. Moving on.
Gaming.
So So we saw recently that YouTube Gaming launched, and everybody's all crazy about streaming their gaming. Apparently YouTube is close to an update that's going to allow Android users to stream gameplay from their device to viewers using the service. Included will be the ability to use your front-facing camera and attached headset or headphone mic to add commentary during gameplay.
That's cool.
So there have been other apps out there that have been allowed you to stream gameplay, but now this is official YouTube. Through YouTube Gaming, go have at it. Mm-hmm. So gamers, have fun. I still don't understand watching the people play games. Like, I'll just play the game. I don't have time to play the game myself.
Yeah,
who has time
to
watch someone
problem.
Play the game?
That's my problem, yeah. But... it turns out it's a big deal, Ron.
I guess you could watch somebody playing the game while you're playing the game.
Sure.
But then...
I just really want to make sure that at least one person that follows this show streams and archives the video of them playing the All About Android video game.
Yes, that's all we're asking.
That's all we're asking. That's why this keeps getting inserted into the show. I just want one of you to do that, okay? Thank you. For a brief moment in time, Google Now on Tap existed for the world to enjoy. And the reason it's in apps is because it's part of the Google Search app, I believe, or Google Now Launcher. Either way, whatever. It belongs here. I used it very briefly. I used it the night that it happened. I remember that night as if it were 4 nights ago, because it was. And I used it very briefly. I was doing something and I noticed it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try it out. Hey, it worked. And at one point, I can't remember exactly what the context was, but it had a business on the page, and I used it, and it pulled up the results, and it had to navigate to that business very easily, and I could navigate right to it. And I was like, wow, this is going to be really cool. Like, this is going to be awesome. Tim Schofield, a.k.a. QBKing77, shot a demo of the functionality while it was still active. And we have video in the doc if you want to see a little bit of that. Some of the stuff he shows off is pretty cool.
Tim is all over the stuff, by the way. He is, yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He's actually going to be on the show next week.
Yep.
I'm out. He's going to be in. If you scroll forward, he kind of shows some of the stuff along the way. The morning after the functionality appeared, everyone was suddenly greeted with an error message once again. This was only useful and shown to people who were running the Marshmallow Developer Preview 3, which I am. So let's go to Wrigley Field. He holds it down. It pulls up this whole context thing Wrigley Field. Navigation, street view, news about it, call. Create a calendar event.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. It's very cool.
It's going to make my life so much easier.
So, neat stuff. Now if I press it, and I'm not running it on my Nexus 5. Now if I tap and hold, it'll just say, Now Untap is coming soon. Stay tuned. So, I'm really looking forward to it. I thought it was funny that it pushed out, because I thought that their plan initially was to wait until the official release.
Yeah.
So it was a nice little sneak preview that we all got.
Very cool.
Teaser.
But yeah,
somebody got fired.
You don't know how that happens. Like, so did someone leave preview mode equals false and then like pushed it out? Like, how does that actually, or is this? Remember when we were all conspiracy theorists about Google seeding things out there? Was this on purpose?
Because it was like for a night, and everybody lit up, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this is awesome!" And then it was gone.
And then take it away.
And now we have to wait and think of all the things we're going to do once it comes back.
Now you're talking about it.
Yes, so, exactly. We weren't talking about it very much.
Yep.
Totally. I bet you anything.
Whoever
it was
that marketing genius at Google is, he or she is sitting back and they're lighting a cigar and they're going, "Got him again."
Yep.
Watching this show.
Yeah.
Hi, person.
Going,
got him again. Man, I love this show.
Best show ever.
Those all about Android people. They're really on the ball.
We do this for you, Android crew.
All right, did we get a voicemail?
I believe we did.
We have a voicemail from James Thatcher. Do you remember to say your name properly? I'm sorry, James. He left a voicemail with his thoughts on Android Pay.
Hey guys, it's Big Jim from just outside of Hangar 18 here in beautiful Dayton, Ohio. And normally, I know, Ron, you are focusing on your rants, but I need to call in with a rant of my own, because I'm really upset about this. I gave up a beautifully functioning, perfectly working Google Wallet for Android Pay. And while it's pretty, it looks nice, although let's be honest, it looks like Apple Passport. Yes, haters, I said the A word, and it does look like Apple Passport, but that doesn't bug me. I don't care how it looks. I care about, does it work? And if you're going to use it for the barcode readers, works great, although there are about a billion other apps that can do that as well. Where it doesn't work is the NFC. I have tried PIN, I have tried Pattern, I have tried Password. None of the three Ps work. It freezes every single time. So Google, what the heck? You are a company that is focusing on engineering and making things work. You had it working in one application, yet in this application, it seems to be breaking down for everybody. Come on, Google. You know better than that. You shouldn't have launched something that was going to freeze up like this, and you should be doing more beta testing than this. But that's just my two cents. This has been a Big Jim rant.
feels like a series. One in a series.
Seriously. That guy's got a radio voice.
I know. He's got a good mic, too.
I wanted to fall asleep to it.
I gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I totally agree with him, BT Dubs.
Yeah,
Android Pay is, I mean, whatever. We are the beta.
This is a case of fixing something that wasn't broken and making it worse.
Yeah, a little bit. It's also, so I haven't actually used Android Pay out in the wild yet, because I spent my day working with Samsung Pay yesterday, and that was...
So we're totally on the right topic to talk about this. So first of all, we all agree this was not a very good transition.
No,
obviously
we're very early in,
and it's super confusing, as we were talking about.
Yeah,
earlier.
It is very confusing.
Although I've enjoyed the confusing emails. Those have been good.
What's that?
The confusing emails
that you can't click on.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
true.
Reminds me of moving from Google Chat to Hangouts.
No, yes. Totally. But this one involves like other third parties. It's not just you on your operating system.
Fewer third parties than supported.
This is going to Whole Foods, and like I have not seen the Android Pay sticker at Whole Foods yet. Maybe it's just the ones I've been to, but they don't know that. They can take it, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know what they know. They haven't told me anything. Like, the clerks don't.
Oh, they never. They're the last to know. Here's my thing, and I don't mean to upstage Big Jim on his rant, because it was a great rant, Big Jim. But what I don't understand is, why not just retire Google Wallet and make it Android Pay? and then just have the Google Wallet app upgrade and become Android Pay, and everything that you do with Google Wallet, you can now do in Android Pay. Why do I have to use two apps, one to buy things at Walgreens with them knowing, not knowing what to do, and another app to send you money? Why can't I all do that from one
app? Could it be a carrier thing? Could it be a carrier thing for the fact that, like, certain carriers may or may not want to have Android Pay installed on their device or allow it, like, to operate on their network?
Yeah.
And Google still wants the ability to be able to transfer money and do all that kind of peer-to-peer type stuff. So if they have that in a separate app, then, okay, well, you can't do the Android Pay on that phone, but you can still at least do this other thing that
But I feel like that's a software problem. So do, Android Pay doesn't work on Verizon, you know, and you just can't do this functionality. Like, if Verizon, then no functionality. Yeah. Like, the fact that there are two apps mystifies me, and I don't understand it. And I haven't actually played with Android Pay yet. I haven't tested it yet. I'm planning to this week, and this weekend I've been too busy. But I don't understand why they couldn't just collapse everything in one app and just rebrand the wallet into Android Pay.
Some people in chat room are wondering, are basically saying, I never have problems with the tap to pay. Maybe it's your device.
Come to San Francisco.
Why did they remove Chase? Chase, you can't use Chase anymore with Android Pay. Why can't I use my wallet balance with Android Pay anymore? I have to add my Google Wallet card and then set it as my primary card in order to use it first. Like, why did they make all these simple, obvious things?
That was confusing, too. I had to do the same thing.
More difficult.
In my settings.
Before we move on, though, Flo, Samsung Pay, go.
Yeah, so I'm just testing it right now because I'm doing a bigger story on it. And it's been a really interesting experience. I took it shopping yesterday. I bought some things I probably shouldn't have, but we don't want to talk about that.
Maybe we do want to talk about that.
Science. And I got some new clothes, and it worked at some of the places I used it at. I went to Forever 21, I went to H&M, and I just feel so basic saying that out loud. Anyway, it was good. I bought some tank tops and things, and the lady clerks, they were like, oh, that's not going to work here. And I was like, oh, says you, it's magic. And I would hold it there, and it'd be like, chirp, chirp, and it would work. And they'd be like, wow. And the customers around me were mystified, and I was just getting all this attention. And then I went to Banana Republic. Then I went to Banana Republic, and they have those weird machines that now take the chip. So you can toss in your ATM card or whatever with the chip, and it'll sit there and read it, which is awesome because that's what everybody's, gravitating towards these days.
That's a standard. To. Yeah.
Exactly. So then I put the S6 Edge Plus next to it. It chirped, but then it declined it. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Chirped again, declined it. Chirped again, declined it. The clerk, he says to me, oh, yeah, we don't take those here. And I'm like, no. This is supposed to work.
This is different.
It uses magnets. Don't you know how they work? And then it kept declining it. And that was really embarrassing because there's nothing more embarrassing than having your card declined when there's a line of people behind you. So I just took out my Old Navy credit card and charged it that way. But then when I went back home, I noticed that, first of all, my bank put my card on hold.
Oh, no.
Because of Samsung Pay. So actually, I tried to buy an app with it today, and Google Wallet was like, you need to call your bank. So, or whatever, Play Store. So I need to do that someday this week. And it charged me on both my debit card and the Old Navy card that I used to pay at Banana Republic.
Simultaneously? Same charge on both? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So it initially charged it. So I need to call, make sure that this charge gets removed because it says it's still processing. So it's possible it could be deleted.
No, it probably, if it's still processing, probably what happened was is that they ping your account to check it. They it's like when you go to the hotel and they put $500 on your card.
Yeah.
That's in a temporary state, and then they zero it out.
That's like a hold.
That takes a few days.
But it freaked me out because I went home and I saw like three transactions on there and, the one that I didn't actually pay for with it. And it's just a new experience. And also I'm super shy about using my phone like this in real life, because this is not a thing that people do very often.
And that's the thing, is that we're in like the top of the second inning, or maybe even the bottom of the first with this, it is so early, and you've got two big challenges to this entire mobile payment new world that we're going to be in. As you said last week, the next generation of payments, mm-hmm. Flo, you've got archaic financial systems that have been working since the 70s with credit cards and the way they work and things like that. And only now, like, we're one of the last countries to be moving to the chip standard. Like, Europe has been on that chip for years, and that's so secure and all stuff like that. You know, so we've got that as a big hurdle. But then you have an education aspect on, with the workers on the front on the front lines. You know, like we the example of the Walgreens on Goff and Felsch at the corner of Fell and Goff is
there's
like,
one on every corner.
It's the, yeah, exactly. But it is like my nightmare, because these people, they look at me like I'm crazy when I take my phone out and try to do it. And the stores need to be educating their staff on how this is a new technology, this is how it works. And the amount of rollout between Apple and Google, Samsung, everybody is so anxious to roll this out that if that education doesn't happen, then it's dead in the water, because people got bad experiences like you have. And the one time your card gets charged three times and you can't use your card, stuff like that, you've sullied your experience.
That's it.
They need to hit a home run on the first try they do it. And that's the big challenge.
It doesn't work every time either, by the way.
Yeah.
Like the MST, you have to place it just right on the little point of sale thingy, and you know they're all different, they all look different, so I don't know where the magnetic side is on all of the devices, and it's different, so that's why I have so much anxiety about using it.
Well, think about this, Flo. Do you print out your boarding pass, or do you use a boarding pass on your phone?
I use the app. Okay. I use the app, and it's never an issue.
Right, it's never it's never an issue now. I remember flying 5-6 years ago, and you pull out your phone with that barcode, and the TSA agent looks at you like you're crazy. I just noticed it a couple of, like maybe 3 or 4 flights ago, that just this year does it seem like everybody's cool with this now.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're
just
right.
This year.
Right.
Yeah. And it's been years for that to adapt. So, yeah.
That's true.
I'm sorry, we all ranted there.
So. It's okay. This is a new thing, and I'm going to keep playing with it and using it and spending money. And,
I think what you're pointing out, the challenge with Samsung Pay, in my mind, I was like, man, Loop Pay seems like the winner, you know, as far as like compatibility and ease of use and all that. But you pointed out a couple of challenges. One, you don't know exactly where to tap it. Two, they don't know that you're capable of wireless payment. So they're confused because they're like, well, we don't support that. Yep. And so there is no like official way to go about it. You're basically saying, don't worry, I got a hack and it's cool. Just trust me. And that's kind of a strange position to be in.
And also you've got staff, like, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, and this is a society problem, a lot of the staff working in retail or at restaurants or whatever are, you know, there's a large percentage of them that are disenfranchised, and there's a large percentage of them that are just punching the clock and it's just a job. I was at a restaurant in New York City where I pulled out the coin, and before I even had it half out of my wallet, the waitress is like, nope. And I was like, oh no, it works. She's like, yeah, no, we need a regular credit card. I'm not even trying that.
Yeah, that's the problem I'm encountering.
Yeah, with a coin. Yeah. Now I mean, she was probably right, because I've had about a 50% success rate with that thing.
That's what I'm saying. It's a coin. So, you know, she's got a legit.
Yeah, but it's weird to hand somebody your phone to take it like to the back of the counter where the little credit machine is, and be like, hey, do you mind holding up my phone, you know, next to your cash machine until it works? Never mind this line of people behind me also trying to get coffee. It just is.
It's interesting because you're talking from a retail standpoint, and now bringing, like I mentioned, restaurants. Like, have you ever gone out to dinner in London, for example? When you go out to dinner in the UK, when they come with a check and then you show your credit card, they leave and come back with a little terminal to the table.
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes it a little more thing. But here with us, you're going to give your phone.
I know, right?
I mean, like, so many of these processes have to change for this to work, and it's so early. So I don't know. I'm excited because I want it. I want to live in Star Trek. I just want it to happen. And
it's
for
great.
Them to, you know, like for them to know. I know Star Trek has no money. I understand that, but I'm just saying.
There's money in Star Trek.
No, the whole idea of the Federation.
Doesn't use money, but there's money.
True. Yes. Good point. Yes. The Federation. I'm just talking about if you're in San Francisco in Star
don't
Trek.
Mess with me. I know my sci-fi.
I know. Oh, I can tell. I know. But I'm just saying, like this idea of a frictionless. Walk in, get your thing, walk out, you know, and have it charge your account and stuff like that. That's the dream. And we're close, but it's rough. So, yeah.
We're getting there. The 3D printers are the new, are the someday replicators.
Someday.
So much emotion with mobile payments.
Yep. Lots of emotions. Let me tell you what there's also emotions about. Facial hair. We want to thank our next sponsor. Harry's.
Great segue.
We want to thank Harry's for sponsoring this episode. Let me tell you, this beautiful face right here, I can thank Harry's for this because I shaved literally last night with my Harry's razor and my Harry's shaving gel. It is fantastic. Harry's is fixing a problem that most of us have, paying too much for overpriced razors. Shaving isn't fun. I used to hate it. Sometimes we cut or scrape ourselves with dull blades, and there's nothing worse than maiming your face. Additionally, maiming your face with a super expensive razor. Razor blades can cost about $4 a blade. A guy who shaves every day spends hundreds of dollars a year just on razors. For example, the Gillette Fusion, super expensive. And when you go to the store to buy them at Walgreens and you try to use your mobile payment thing to buy them, you got to deal with those locked up cabinets and ask for help and press the buzzer and they don't come. It's a huge pain. Thankfully, there's a company that's fixing all this for us, and they're called Harry's. Harry's gives us high-quality razors at about half the price of those big brand blades. Harry's makes razors in their own factory in Germany. They engineer them for sharpness and high performance. They ship them free to your front doorstep, and because they make and ship all their own blades, Harry's is a more efficient company, which means they can give us factory direct pricing. Harry's guarantees your satisfaction. In each kit, you get a razor blade with a handle that looks and feels great, three razor blades, and the foaming shaving gel. And these are fantastic. Like I said, I shaved last night. I popped in a new blade into my handle. I used the shaving gel. I look forward to shaving now, which I never thought I would say. So you can get the starter set. It's called the Truman set, and it's an amazing deal. You get all of this for just $15. Harry's gives you a clean, close, and comfortable shave. I love the look and the feel of the set, and I love the look and feel of my face afterwards. And best of all, I love the price. Harry's costs half as much as the razors at the store. And for example, last night after I shaved, I realized I was running low on shaving gels, running low on razors. I went to the website. They keep a history of all my purchases. I just replicated my last purchase. I bought 8 more blades and a large shaving gel. It's coming to my house. I already got the tracking. It's going to be here in a couple of days. Totally free shipping. It's awesome. They also have aftershave moisturizer that protects and hydrates my skin. And they're constantly adding new products. They just rolled out a new some sort of facial cleanse gel thing. I don't know. It's green. That one. Yeah, the Daily Face Wash. I got an email about that it was new and it was coming. And it's so cheap, $7 for that. People pay too much for this sort of stuff. And Harry's is making it more affordable, which I love. So listen to me. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase with the code AAA. That's Harry's, HARRYS.com, and enter code AAA at checkout. And we thank Harry's support of All About Android and my beautiful face.
So listen to me.
Listen to me.
All right, Ron.
I want you to do it.
We're listening to you.
I got really, really into it. It was the mobile payments.
You were like, hey, you, listen to me.
Well, later on when we're plugging, you'll see why I'm okay. a little more aggro these days.
Look, very nice. All right, let's do it. Speaking of aggro, it's time for the arena, the aggro arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right.
Flo, I hope you enjoy your first mercy win.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mercy win, please.
I can't imagine the All About Android audience likes Pokemon this much.
See the chat, though? Everybody was going cray-cray over the Pokemon. Pokemon's great.
Yeah, there's a few comments in there where they said they like Pokemon. Said. There's a few in there that say, I like Flo, therefore I'm gay.
Yay!
Yeah, there you go. So, 49% for Pokemon Shuffle Mobile. Second place was Tufts Notification Shortcuts. And third place was Shuffle My Life.
And so that
apparently
gives us,
you guys aren't bored.
And that gives us through 37 weeks. Flo is in last with 2 wins. Guests are in third with 10.
Flo's in last, everyone.
Jason has got 11 and I've got 14. Still sitting pretty on top.
Ron, you're doing good.
It's my arena to lose. This is what's happened now.
That's where we're at.
I don't want to pull a Washington Nationals here. Come on.
All right. I will kick things off by giving you my look of disapproval.
Literally.
Uh-huh. That's right. It's an app called Look.
That was an inquisitive look.
Oh, sorry. I don't actually. What is it? It's like.
There you go.
That it?
Disapproval is more like.
Okay.
Disapproval is more like a. Yeah. Like,
that was when you're avoiding the Ring doorbell. You don't want to answer. That was that face.
There you go. That's some judgment.
Yeah.
Good job.
But this isn't Unicode.
That's what this app is all about. Yeah.
Imagine if
exciting,
your face was,
isn't it?
Imagine if your face was Unicode.
That would be awesome. So what is this? Look of disapproval. Unicode faces. Basically, you see these all the time on Twitter. You see them in Reddit. You see them all over the place. And you're like, at least if you're me, you're like, those are funny. How do I do it?
Yeah, I never know because we're old.
You never know how to. Exactly. We just don't know how to hammer these out. So what do? You go to Google. You search for it. You find an example of it. You copy it. Then you go back over and then you paste it in. And you look like you knew what you were doing all along when, in fact, you just copied it. Well, here's an app that allows you to still copy it but do it more efficiently. So you've got a custom section where you can create your own or add your favorites into. Here's all the faces. There they are. And there's tons of them. Lots of them, all in Unicode and all ready for you to copy.
Do they explain what they mean? Because I don't know what half of those mean.
You gotta know. All right, you gotta know that. But if you stay, I find that these are kind of like those paintings that you had to like make your eyes lazy, and then eventually your eyes would cross enough, and then you'd understand them.
I never could do those.
The magic eye.
Magic eye.
It's a sailboat.
I could see it.
Unicode faces are kind of like that for me. Like I have to like stare at them for a while, and then I see the face. And
I
go,
I see it now.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now I get it.
There we go.
Yeah. This is my look of disapproval. Nice. So if you
nailed it.
I like that, you, not Brian, only the faces, but it has flipping tables.
Yes, it has a special section devoted to flipping tables.
I use that on the daily, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, you've got so many different table flipping Unicodes to choose from here. So there you go. I mean, this is pretty much what it is, right? You find the one you want. You can either tap it and it copies it to your clipboard, or you can hold it and you can share it to an app. And then it'll paste that into the app. Isn't that nice?
Add to Dropbox.
I need to add this face to Dropbox.
He's got a folder of just all of these emoticons.
And here's a couple of miscellaneous ones. And, you know, you can add your own. This is a little mouse, isn't it? Oh, I like the mouse.
Oh.
I'll go ahead.
Oh, where's its pizza?
Add that to
irrelevant.
Custom.
Is that a shotgun pizza up there?
If yes, it's already in miscellaneous, do you have to add it to custom? Like, why would you add it to custom if it's already in miscellaneous?
Yeah.
Well, custom is kind of like your favorites.
Seems redundant.
Yeah, custom yours. Yeah,
yeah, it's like your favorites. You can add to custom or you can copy something over to custom so you just have them there.
It's the first window.
But yeah, see, if you know how to hammer these out, you just do it. And then you got it. And there you go. It also, I don't know if it still has the, yes, it does. hey, new font for AA artwork. A surprise. Look of AAA, or look of disapproval. Man, I'm all discombobulated after that one. You can use the drop-down notification to kind of do it on the fly if you're in another app and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, hey, you know, you probably don't have a ton of use for this all the time, but when you do, when the time requires that you have a Unicode face, here's how you do it. And, you know, it's also kind of like research. Keeping up with the trends. What are the kids doing these days? You can find out by going into Look of Disapproval for free in the Play Store. And it's got a nice material design to it as well. So
yay, material design.
Yay, love it. All right, that's it. Ron, you're next because you also lost.
I did lose. And what's funny is that I think it was in the after show. It might have been on the show. I don't remember when we stopped. But after the show last week, I was coaching my good friend Flo about how to pick an app for the arena and how sometimes you go with a new app that you find, but sometimes it's an older app that you might want to pull out of the archives. And sometimes maybe an app is new to you. And actually, just recently, I had that exact experience. Those longtime watchers of the show or listeners of the show know that I love music. I really do enjoy music. But I feel like there's a shortcoming to Google Music or Spotify or RDO or any of those other services in that they're not capturing some of the new, exciting underground music that's happening. And honestly, that's all happening on Bandcamp. If you're not familiar with Bandcamp, it is awesome. And I didn't even know they had an app. Apparently it came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
And a friend of mine let me know, and here is Bandcamp. And what's great now is that I'm able to log in with my account, and I can get access to my full collection of records that I've all bought on Bandcamp. And
I don't see Yellow Gold in that list.
Interesting. Yeah, Cereal Ostrich. I think I bought it with a different account. That's why. I'm sorry. Yellow Gold is good. But here, we'll find Yellow Gold. No, but anyway, so you can search for specific specific bands. So there we go, Yellow Gold.
One word.
One Wonder. There we go. Okay.
There he is.
There he is. So what's great about Bandcamp is that basically Bandcamp gives the ability for digital distribution to the artists. No more record labels, the whole kind of world. Although record labels are on Bandcamp, it's a whole other thing. But basically any artist like Jason with Yellow Gold can put together an album and release it on Bandcamp. And now with the app, what you can do is you can listen to anything that is streaming. So here I can listen to the song Lonely Nights. I can listen to the whole album here. I can also choose to buy it. I can add it to my wish list. I can also choose to follow that artist if I like what he's listening to. Now saying I'm following him and stuff's going to appear in my feed. And so basically it allows you to access anything that's on the Bandcamp website. And now if you're into music, the best stuff is happening on Bandcamp. The newest stuff, one of my favorite bands is band Iron Sheik, just came out with a new 7-inch. Came out today.
Good name.
Yeah, they're great. I bought it. And so here we just hit play and it will stream hypothetically.
In a perfect world, if we weren't doing a demo.
Yeah, there we go. So, see?
There we go.
So now you can listen on the go. It's just awesome. It's just great. And they give you all the information, all the, you know, when it was released, all the information about buying the actual vinyl. You can see other people who are supporting this, people who bought it, their tags. So if I want to look for other punk songs, other songs from Long Island or whatever. Information about the band, you can choose to follow them, see their whole discography. It's just everything that you need is all right here in the app. And it sounds awesome. So
what's your username?
Ron XO? No, don't give it to me. I'm going to buy it. Yeah, it's Ron XO.
No, I just want to follow you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Ron XO. Anyway, distracted me.
Sorry.
So what you can do is you can explore the app through the genre keywords. So, you know, whether you're into jazz or funk or blues, or if you're like me and you're into, post-hardcore, they've got them all there. And all you got to do is here, we'll just go into punk here and we'll find... And there you go. Yeah, it's a subculture, a subgenre. So I'm going to go to post-hardcore. And honestly, the newest bands that I found are all on Bandcamp. And so this is the way to go. And what's great is that a lot of times a lot of friends send me links or send me names of bands that I don't have time to buy right now. Or if I'm out at a bar or something like that, I can just add it to my wish list. And then we're good to go. So there it is. Bandcamp. It does all the usual stuff you'd expect. If I go out into my phone here, I will actually, let me hit play again. So I get a little thing here that tells me, you know, I can pause it in my notifications or whatever. And then I stopped it there. But when you play it, you get a little icon up in your notifications bar, that little wedge next to my battery. It does everything I want it to that I would expect from Bandcamp. So it's free in the Google Play Store. You can sign up on the Bandcamp website and log in easily, sync all your previous purchases. And if you're like me and you are using Bandcamp, you didn't know it existed, go download it now. So
yeah, it's designed really well.
Yeah,
I love Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's not material design. I would like to see that. That'd be nice. But
they can't all do it exactly.
But it's not bad. It's not like anti-material design. Cool.
Bandcamp, one word. Check it out. I guess those were three words.
Sure.
But I mean, Bandcamp is one word.
Yeah.
There you go. Aaron, you're up next. I've got your app installed. So if you want to talk about it, I'll go ahead and show it off.
All right. Cool. Sounds good. I'm talking about TV Food Maps. It's kind of my food research secret weapon that I haven't been telling people about for several years now. Started using it, and it looked horrible. So that's why I usually didn't tell people about it, because it was just a horribly, horribly designed app. But the information in it is fantastic. What they did is they took like all your Food Network shows, cooking, any TV show that is about food and talks about restaurants, they mapped them. So if you go into an area where you've never been, and a lot of times you can open up Yelp or Zagat and you can kind of get a rough idea of local people or other tourists' ideas on restaurants. But TV Food Maps gives you shows that have been featured on television shows restaurants that have been featured on television shows. And that's kind of fun because a lot of times they'll suggest a specific item to try. I use it to really narrow down my eating choices. So I'll find a place in here that looks interesting, and then a lot of times I'll go check it out in Yelp or Zagat and see what the reviews are. And I've kind of become known as
the restaurant whisperer. I just totally made that up, but that's my new name. So just call me the restaurant whisperer from
now. You're known as the restaurant
whisperer. Now I'm known as the restaurant whisperer. But when we travel, I usually am the one that picks the restaurants because I'm quite good at it. And this is kind of my secret weapon. You launch it, it shows you a bunch of nearby restaurants. There's also ones that haven't aired yet that it'll show. You can search in your area, or you can search in another area. I mean, it's like most food search apps in the sense that, you know, you can find restaurants, but it doesn't list every restaurant, only ones that have been on TV. So it's kind of cool. I find, despite what anybody thinks about Guy Fieri, he recommends good restaurants. He hasn't done me wrong yet, or steered me wrong yet, but I've definitely found some really awesome places, even locally here, that I had never tried. So it's a, like I said, secret weapon for finding restaurants.
Let's see here. It's got a roadmap feature or a roadmap feature, so you can pull up your route.
So, oh yeah, and it'll list places on the way there.
That's really cool.
That's really cool.
I don't do road trips anymore, so I don't get to use that feature. That's actually newer. That's cool. They just redesigned their app not too long ago, and it's way better. It's not horrible anymore.
I will agree with you. I'm not a fan of Guy Fieri, but like one of my favorite restaurants in San Francisco was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and whatever. Like his producers know what places.
Yeah, they find good places.
They do find good places. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you my favorite place in San Francisco, but because it's a secret. But I'm sure it's probably in this app. So
the best in the West, Nugget. Sparks, yeah. Nevada.
That's cool. I'm totally installing this. That's
Travel awesome. Channel, Barbecue yeah,
it's a,
Paradise.
It's a great, like, initial... I go there first, search for places. If I don't find anything nearby that looks really that interesting, then I move on to something else. But a lot of times that kind of gets my search going and helps me narrow down places. And it was great for New York and D.C. and Seattle and San Francisco and Dallas. I use it, like I said, I use it here and found this really cool... It's kind of like a Mediterranean restaurant. Lebanese. It's a Lebanese restaurant. It's really good.
So you can search by show, too. So,
yeah.
That's awesome. That's
Apparently
cool.
I'm not very good at demoing apps and describing what all they do. But, yeah, you can search by show good. And all that.
Oh, I'm just kind of plunking around. This is great. This is a really good way to get some good insight.
Yeah.
And everybody vote for this one. I've never won. This is my second or third show. And
yeah,
like
give
win.
It to him.
Just
Flo, what are you doing?
Wow, look at that.
Mail it in. Just mail it in. I'm going for the win this time.
This is TV Food Maps, though I will say that the actual name of it in the Play Store is not that. It's Restaurants on TV Trip Planner. So if you're looking for it, actually searching for TV Food Maps might get it just
You'll
because that's
it.
The name of the developer. That'll probably work.
So there's actually a funny story here. I was going to create this app because I wanted it when I was traveling one day. And I was like, there needs to be an app that lists all these really cool TV food places. And then I found them, and their app was horrible, so I didn't use it for a while.
That was your opportunity, Aaron. Yep. Their app was horrible.
I got enough going on.
I hear you.
Building another app.
Fair enough. All right, that's TV Food Maps. That is free, and wow, that's really great.
That's very cool.
I'm gonna add that to my arena cool. list for
People
a food
really
episode.
People really don't like Guy Fieri. That's what I've learned.
They don't.
There's a visceral thing.
I saw him once at SFO in the international terminal. You know, like the long moving sidewalk area, and it was him and some other dude, and he had his like some black shirt with flames on it, whatever. And there was somebody going by, and they totally heckled him. Like, go home, Fieri. We don't want you here. It's like, which is funny because he's from the Bay Area. So, yeah.
It's the bleach blonde, spiked hair, and upside down sunglasses, right? Like,
They do find good places, and I've eaten at many places that they've had on the show and things like that. Like the Vortex in Georgia, where they have a burger called the cardiac arrest or something like that, where it's a triple layer burger and the bun is grilled cheese sandwiches. It's amazing.
God, oh my god.
So good. It's dinner time. It's awesome. Why are you doing that right now?
I know, I'm so hungry right now.
All right, let's do this. Flo, what you got? I got it installed.
Quickly so that we can go home and eat grilled cheese sandwiches and burgers. So I picked Pintasking this week, which is I tried to go for a sort of productivity app because, you know, I thought it'd be nice to kind of play it up once in a while. This one kind of reminds me a little bit of what you would want on an app or what you would want on a phone that doesn't have a multi-window feature like Samsung and LG devices do. The nice thing about it, so first of all, before you can use it, demoer. Thank you, demoer, for helping me out with this. You actually have to go into the settings and enable the little thingy that I completely forgot what it's called. I'm so technological. Yeah, there's a little a thingy that you have to turn on. It's the same one that you have to turn on for push bullet. So it's like the little push notification thing.
Yep.
And,
it allows it to manage notifications.
Thank you. How many years have I been covering Android? All right. So you turn that on and then you can hold down the home button hold it down and then go to the little circle.
And then assign it to.
Then you can pin a task. Make sure not to set as your default because that could get annoying if you don't want that. Also, Samsung users, there's a special little option for it that will let you use the home button for the same thing. And so when you create a little pin within an app, so you're going to want to go like inside an app like Chrome, APK Mirror, there you go. Make a little pin out of it.
All right.
Makes a little pin. All right. So when you're trying to use a couple apps at once, like sometimes I try to do on a tablet or phone, I like to just sort of pin them to the side. And then that way I can quickly move between them. This is something I like to do when I'm editing photos, which is really nice. Or if I'm copying and pasting things from like Chrome or whatever to Twitter, because I don't like to always use the share functionality because that's annoying sometimes. So it's just a little, you know, productivity thing, little helper, just until we can get like side-by-side apps.
Interesting. Okay. So then you can create multiples of these and they're basically like tabs on the side of your screen.
Yeah.
And what it's actually doing, it's actually going through the motions of pulling up your multitasking, at least it is on my device, and selecting the other one from there.
That's what it's doing for you, which I realize is something that you could do yourself. But let me tell you, it's so much nicer to have somebody just do it for you.
Yeah, it's like automation.
Exactly.
It's a macro of
sorts. And that's what Android is all about,
guys.
That's right. You know, that's what it's about.
very cool. That's awesome. I had not heard of this one. Excellent. It looks like there's a lot of settings in here, too. So I can probably...
Apparently, this app has been around for a while.
Really customized.
It just surfaced in the new and updated... on my Play Store yesterday, and so I figured I'd give it a try.
Sweet. It's called Pin Tasking, and it's free. I think you can upgrade to the Pro version.
$3.99
inside the app. Very cool. Pin Tasking. One word. One magical word.
All right.
So we have... What's up?
Start the voting.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. AAApoll.com/232. Place your vote. Is it Look of Disapproval, Bandcamp, TV Food Maps, or Pin Tasking? Place your vote. Check on it next week. We'll see who won. I don't know this week because these are all really great apps. So there you go.
They're really good. I mean, honestly, like I saw Look of Disapproval. I'm like, oh, I could use that app. But I see
I actually just installed it while you were talking about it.
And then I like to eat. And so the TV Food Maps, I'm kind of all over that. But then I like Bandcamp. But then I like multitasking. I can't decide.
It's my favorite kind of arena. Yeah. The close ones are the best. Awesome. Well, that is it for this week. Wow, we went overboard with our time, but that's okay. We had a lot to talk about, apparently. Aaron Kasten, it's a pleasure getting you on the show, man. And best of luck. You're leading up to Big Android Barbecue. So I imagine, I don't know, do you have anything that you want to tell everybody about the Big Android Barbecue or anything else that you're working on with IDEA? What's up?
Sure, I'll be quick since I know we're a bit over.
It's all good.
So IDEA is a 501c3 nonprofit formed this year. We're all from the kind of Big Android Barbecue team. Just over the years, it's grown, and we wanted to take what we were doing and reach more people, lower the barrier of entry to development, go to some new cities, maybe cities that aren't recognized as areas that tech is growing, and kind of bring that and get more people into it. We're really focused on getting kids involved this year. We've started some outreach and scholarship programs. It's pretty exciting. We've got some really cool stories that I don't unfortunately have time to get into at this point, but it's been fun. Our DC event, we had a really great story come out of there, a kid that I think we've inspired and hopefully have changed his life. He might be at the barbecue. We'll see if we can get him there. But Big Android Barbecue, October 22nd and 23rd. We've also got another Big Android Barbecue coming up in November in Amsterdam. It's our first international event. Nice. Big Android Barbecue Europe. Really excited about that. We've got some great relationships over there that we've been building over the last couple of years, and we're pretty excited about that event. We'll see how it goes. It's our, like I said, it's our first time out in Europe, and so we're kind of playing things a little bit slower, taking it a little safer on that one. But it should be a really great event. We're kind of taking over an old event that wasn't doing as well, and so we thought we'd bring some of our flair to it. And then we got 16 Google speakers coming to the Big Android Barbecue in Texas. We've got two from Facebook, two from Twitter. Cyanogen will be there. Nextbit will be there. HTC, Sony. I'm talking to Samsung again. They've been there every year, so I'm sure we'll figure out a way to get them back in. Lots of exciting sponsors and speakers. We got a Startup Alley, which is new this year. It's going to have a bunch of Texas startups, or startups specifically from Texas. So that'll be interesting. It's going to be a fun event. It's always a big kind of crazy event. This year is going to be bigger and crazier than ever. We'll have our adult big wheels back and rolling those around. We've got a party on the night, Back to the Future night, the October 21st.
Awesome. Oh, awesome.
So you can imagine we're going to have some fun with that.
I can imagine. That's great.
And Aaron, the chat room has a very important question. Eric in the chat room wants to know, is there going to be brisket at this barbecue?
Well, it depends. So, yes. First, yes, there will be brisket.
Always lead with the yes, there will be brisket.
So, the Big Android Barbecue is interesting. A lot of times you go to an event like this and you have, like, you know, you've got your daily sessions and then maybe a party one night. And then, you know, like, so like Google I.O. sponsors will do other parties around the event, but there's not really a specific event planned functions in the evening. Well, we book your whole schedule. If you come to the Big Android Barbecue from pretty much when you arrive until you're flying out on Saturday, we've got stuff going on. And so it's kind of cool. So some of the times we are not serving brisket, but there is one particular part of the event where brisket is served.
As long as there'll be brisket somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's somewhere, then you can claim that there will be, and there will therefore be brisket. You've won. So
I think our food's going to be better than ever before this year, and we always have excellent food.
I was going to say, your event after that day this year at Google I.O., the food was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
right?
Spectacular.
Like, that was good. That was good.
Yeah,
good.
It was pulled pork. It was delicious.
I got to say, between the app and the arena and the barbecue, like, on one hand, I'm in love with Aaron. On the other hand, I'm going to gnaw my arm off because I have an hour drive ahead of me to get home to dinner. So.
We've got snacks in the back if you want. Aaron,
it's been a barbecue, guys. There we go. Remote show.
We'll have to go.
We would love to.
We should make a plan to go next year. Like, we should figure it out.
I agree.
You got a month tickets from – I was looking at flights from San Francisco, like – yesterday they were like $100-$200 $100 each way or something. Like that.
I'll fire off an email and see what we can do.
I don't know about this year, but maybe next year sounds great.
Email me afterwards. Make it happen.
All right. I would love to go this year. All right, we'll see what I can do.
That'd be great. You can't go without me. I'll be so jealous. Well, you can do everything.
Well, but he's saying
me.
We could go this year, Ron. Jeez. We'll see what we can make happen. Aaron, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, and best of luck. It's awesome what you guys
are
doing.
Thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Flo, what you working on?
I'm working on a bunch of stuff. Right now, I'm working on figuring out how to use Samsung Pay in the wild and Android Pay. So that's going to be what I'm going to be working on. And, of course, we've got a big event next week that I need to get lots of sleep for and hopefully not catch a cold in the interim. Because I always get afraid of getting sick before a big thing.
Yeah,
so you can follow me on PC World, Greenbot, and on Twitter at OhThatFlow. And oh my gosh, it's going to be a crazy, crazy couple of weeks coming up, guys.
You're going to have a lot of fun at the event next week.
Yeah, I will.
You will be on the show. You'll be Skyping in, but you will have been at the event. You will see the things. You will pick up the things. And we can't wait to hear all about it.
Yes.
I won't be here. I'm a little bummed about that.
Marshmallows.
But you will. And I can't wait to hear what you think.
Jealous.
What about you, Ron?
So last week I was saying this is my month of announcements. Uh-huh. So my last big announcement today is that if you're following me on social media, you might have saw it. But yesterday I launched a new podcast. Me and the two other guys who I do the iFanboy podcast launched Goodfellas Minute. Which you can go to goodfellasminute.com where you can subscribe to it on Pocket Casts, our preferred podcast catcher app. But we're going to be analyzing the Martin Scorsese masterpiece Goodfellas minute by minute. It's a daily podcast, Monday through Friday, about 15 minutes. And very, very excited. This has been the podcast I believe we were born to do. So go to goodfellasminute.com. Subscribe today. Check it out. I'm very proud of it. I've been working on the website, on all this stuff. I've been working very diligently for the past couple of weeks. And
that's awesome.
And it was the 25th anniversary of the release of Goodfellas this past weekend. So that's why we rolled it out on this date. And we're going to have lots of guest hosts and things like that. So it's gonna be fun. So goodfellasminute.com. If you do anything, go there. Go to about.me/RonXO where you can find links to all that stuff. And I'm tweeting links to the episodes and stuff like that.
I just don't understand how you can find that much to talk about a single minute.
Oh, you'd be amazed.
I am amazed.
I mean, so we're averaging about 15 minutes. Some, like today's episode came out was 11 minutes. The next, you know, like there are future minutes that run into 20 minutes or so. But we talk about everything from the way the film, the movie was shot, the music, which is a huge thing in Scorsese films, the actors, the background actors. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot, and also what I love is that there's a ton of New York City history. Which is like basically because the movie is based on real stuff, and I grew up a lot where it happened, so it's really cool to share with people. Be like, oh yeah, in the movie, what they're talking about is actually a pizza place that's in East New York in Brooklyn, and currently there now is an apartment building, but it used to be a cab stand and all that fun stuff. So, goodfellasminute.com, check it out.
Good and a great film, by the way.
Yes, amazing.
So it's
amazing.
A good film to create a minute by minute. Yes.
I'm very proud of it,
especially because. Doesn't it have like some like monstrous tracking scene, like a couple of minutes worth?
There's
you're going to have like a single shot broken up.
Oh, it's
into
already happened.
Because
we're doing a daily podcast, which I don't encourage anyone to do. We're about we just recorded like episode 20 the other night,
right.
And the scene where he comes into the bar and meets all the versus monsters. Uh-huh. That's one long. It lasted two episodes. And like the shot, we're
but
going
he's meeting so many different people. There's a lot to talk
and
about there. Yeah.
The stories are amazing. And let me tease you. You're gonna want to listen to those weeks. So it's gonna be good. So,
dude, this is awesome. Yeah. That's great.
There
Goodfellas
it is. Goodfellas Minute. There's that website that I slaved over. And,
looks good.
And let me tell you, the last time I launched an audio podcast was 2005. Things have changed in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I am not handwriting the XML feed by myself on this show. I'm very proud. It is all being published, and it's all
Oh no.
So sorry. Okay. Go check it out.
Brian, what about you, sir?
Well, my stomach is really rumbling after all that stuff.
Oh,
and,
you look hungry.
I'm very hungry.
A little hangry, actually, based on your...
Hangry. I guess you can also guess what app I'm going to pick for tonight.
Jeez.
TV food maps, obviously.
And also, if you want to find me anywhere, I'm at @cranky_hippo, and I do a know-how show. Uh-huh. Where I will fill your knowledge hole with Padre on Thursdays. This week, Padre built a drone that will lift beer. It was a 50% success. So if you want to find out how that went, check it out.
Does it lift beer into your mouth?
No, but it will bring it to me from the kitchen to the living room.
And what is the emoticon for that?
Let's see if we have one within scrolling distance.
There it is.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's totally it. Right on. Thank you, Brian. Real quick before I go, the Google event next week, next Tuesday, starting at 9 p.m., we will be having 9 a.m. Pacific. We will be having live coverage of that here at the Twit studio as well. So twit.tv/live. We'll have some folks on hand picking apart the event as it happens. And so definitely check that out. That's next Tuesday, October 29th. At 9 a.m. Pacific. All right. As for me, about.me/JasonHowell, yellowgoldmusic.com, or you can go to Bandcamp, search for Yellow Gold.
Yes.
I'm there. And that's it. Voicemail. Leave us some voicemail. Get on the show with your voice. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also send us an audio file like we had in today's show through email. That's AAA@twit.tv. We're on Twitter. We're @AndroidShow. We're on Reddit. Our subreddit is twitaaa.reddit.com. We have a Google Plus community. Just go and search for All About Android. You'll find us there. Show notes for and past episodes, all of our show notes, everything we talk about, twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes in Pocket Casts, iTunes, YouTube, all across the map. And we're live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That is it for this week's edition of All About Android. We'll see you next week, you guys. Bye.